recorded live.
Thank you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, amen. I want to get started here tonight. Praise the Lord. I want to just thank you all for joining us tonight. And for many of you that are just getting all the messages at a short notice, I've been kind of running here and there since early this morning. So I really haven't had much time to promote the show. Amen. But we thank God for you all that did get an opportunity to get the message and to join us on tonight. We're going to have a wonderful time in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, I feel in my spirit such a prophetic flow right now. And I just kind of felt led on last night. The Lord dropped it in my spirit to begin to do this every Thursday night. We're just going to kind of push in this in direction. And it may change up. I don't know which direction the Lord will take us. He'll probably say something different next month and the month after that. We don't know. But for now, we're going to be pushing for every Thursday night to do something in reference to the kingdom, to do something in reference to the prophetic, the apostolic. Amen. We want to be able to continue to infuse those in the kingdom of God. Amen, and silence the enemy once again, praise God. So tonight we're going to be talking about prophecy and the anointing to prophesy. The Lord began to speak to me a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling me, he said, son, there are many people that just don't prophesy enough. There are some folks that got prophetic giftings in their life. There are folks that have prophetic mantles, prophetic anointings. They have the gift of prophecy. They have the word of knowledge working in their life. Some of them are prophets and prophetess. Some of them are apostolic prophets and prophetic apostles. But many of them don't prophesy enough. And I'm telling you, we need to begin to speak some things into the atmosphere that God has caused us to begin to visualize within the spirit. And he's also unctioned us with his Holy Spirit inside of us to declare certain things as we begin to speak them forth. So tonight we're going to deal with some things. I'm just going to kind of dive into scripture. I don't have no notes, y'all. Is that all right? We're just going to kind of listen to the Holy Ghost. One thing that I'm excited about is that the Lord has just has blessed me to operate in the prophetic for almost 20 years. And tonight, for many of you that's on the line, I want to definitely take an opportunity, if you all will allow me, by the presence of God, to prophesy and speak into your life. And believe me, I'll tell you in a minute, you can tell me if I'm wrong. One thing I noticed about folks, let me tell you, in the church, don't just let anybody prophesy to you. A lot of times, some of the stuff that be coming forth across the pulpit and to many of us in the kingdom, half the time some of that stuff, y'all know good and well, God ain't never said that to you. And just because somebody prophesied to you don't necessarily mean it's from God. You need to take that word and, I'm already in the message. Let me back up. I'm going to talk about that a little bit tonight. We're going to begin to go before the throne of grace. I want to play a couple of more songs here. We're going to jump right into what's playing here right now, and then we're going to come on in, and I'm going to begin to do some teaching. I hope you got your word tonight, because y'all know if anybody is familiar with our ministry, you know we like to dive into the Word of God. I love to dissect the scriptures. I love to study the word. I love to pull out of the scriptures what the Holy Ghost is speaking to us and revelate on the kingdom of God. So just prepare your hearts. We're gonna enjoy what the Lord has for us tonight as he prepares our table. Amen. Let's go back into some more Rick Pino here tonight. Praise God.
Oh,
Praise God. Come on, let's go to the prayer, y'all. Father, we thank you for this word on tonight, Lord. Lord, we pray right now that you would just begin to open up our hearts and open up our mind. Father, I pray as even now as the glory of the Lord is resting in the earth, God. Lord, even as the windows of heaven have already begun to open, God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would just begin to use me now as your orifice, God, as the very mouthpiece of the Lord, Father, that it will speak forth the oracles of God in the earth, God. And, Father, as I begin to bring forth this message concerning the prophetic, God, Lord, I pray that you would just begin to stir the hearts of every believer tonight, God. And, Father, that you would just begin to speak life as you begin to breathe upon your disciples tonight, God. And you begin to breathe upon the gifts that are in their spirits, God. And they just begin to stir on tonight like never before. Father, I pray that you would just begin to shake the very foundations, God, of their spirit, Lord, that they may be awakened, God, with the anointing of the power of the Holy Ghost like never before, God, and that you would just begin to stir up their hearts, God, and let them just begin to dream dreams, God. Let them begin to see visions, God. Let them begin to reveal right now, Father, that which you have appointed for this time in the earth, God. Let them begin to declare, Lord, the things that will come to pass, Father, in the days to come, Lord, like never before, Lord, as this word will begin to birth forth a new light in their spirit, Lord. And Father, I pray that the anointing of the prophetic, God, just begin to saturate the atmosphere on tonight, God. Let every heart be moved, Lord. And Father, I declare that every tongue, God, that is listening would be anointed with a prophetic utterance upon their lips, God, to come forth in prophecy even on tonight, God. Let everything, God, that you have established for us in this hour, Father, now begin to come to pass. In Jesus' name we pray. And Lord, I thank you for the anointing of the power of God that rests on me, Lord. I rebuke the spirit of error. And I cancel every assignment of the enemy right now tonight in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, O Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Let's go into the Word of God tonight. I want to move quickly. I'm full. I don't know what it is that the Lord is going to speak to me tonight, y'all. But I'm really full in my spirit. But I want to go real quickly over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me just kind of break down some basic theology 101 for y'all. Come on, somebody. Let's go here to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen. Let's go there. Let's go there. Amen. The scripture says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." It's interesting that the Apostle Paul literally begins to come forth quickly in this particular verse. Immediately he said, look, as I get ready to talk to you about these gifts, I just won't have you ignorant. There's some things. Look at verse 2. He says, "You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led." And look at verse 3. It says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." So let's understand some things here. One thing that I love about the Apostle Peter's ministry is that Jesus quickly recognized that Peter had a sensitive spirit. He wasn't able to reveal who Jesus was if it had not been by the Holy Ghost. One of the things that's going to be required of many of you that move very strongly in the gifts of the Spirit is that your spirit has to be sensitive to the leading of God's Spirit, and it's going to have to also be sensitive to the Spirit of God in your spirit, that you're able to tap into what God is getting ready to do with you. You see, a lot of times what we like to do, the first thing, especially if you're an emerging leader, the first thing we like to do when we go into the church for some of us to meet, the first thing we want to do is sing a song. God may be speaking something differently to you that day when you're going into the service. It may not be meant for you to go into the service and begin to sing a song. You know, even though that's in your program, that's the typical order that you pretty much kind of follow. God may speak something different. He may speak to the leading pastor or the lead apostle for that service and say, look, I want everybody to grab your prayer shawls. We praying first tonight. I want everybody to get to the altar. We need to begin to intercede. I want everyone to get situated right where you are. I want you to grab your neighbor's hand, and I want you to begin to pray earnestly in the spirit. See, God may be speaking something different to us opposed to our normal order of service, and it's necessary that we grasp what the Spirit of God is saying for that particular hour. And I want y'all to pay close attention to us, because what Paul was trying to get the Corinthian church to understand is that they can't continue to move in the same direction that they were moving in prior to the point of time being situated with an apostolic teacher. Here, watch this. In verse 3, let's read that again. He says, wherefore I give to you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but the Holy Ghost. Verse 4 says, now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We're talking about the Spirit of God. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And then there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Watch this, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. One of the things that I want y'all to understand tonight as we begin to move into this thing is that the gifts of the Spirit, and when they're being used in an atmosphere of a kingdom and apostolic and prophetic church, that those gifts of the Spirit are designed for the church to profit. And I'm talking about P-R-O-P-H-E-T. I'm talking about a profit as in the Webster's Dictionary, which means we gain. We gain access and we gain movement into the kingdom of God. We literally bombard the kingdom of darkness while we're moving into the kingdom of heaven, when we're profiting with the gifts of the Spirit. This is why it's so important that we begin to prophesy a little bit more. Many of you have been called to be prophets and prophetess, and you're just not moving in it. And God really wants to begin to draw many of you back into that place where you begin to profit in the kingdom. See, if you don't profit, then somebody else may not get a gain either. It's necessary that we understand that the gifts that God has given us are designed for everyone to move with us and to flow with us and to profit with us. Here, look at this. Let's continue to read verse 8. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. One thing that I've and many of you, again, that have been a part of our ministry teachings, one of the things that you might have heard me preach over the years is how, as apostles and prophets, and I'll even go with the entire fivefold ministry, by the time you step into those ascension offices, you should be flowing in all nine gifts of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. You should be able to, as the scripture says here, and go back into in verse 4 where it says, now there are diversities of gifts. You should have all the diversities of gifts. You should have all the revelation gifts working. You should have all of the power gifts working. And you should have all of the gifts that are saying something working in your ministry. All of these diversities of gifts should be in operation in your ministry. So if you come to you step inside of the sanctuary and your name is Pastor Dr. Bishop Feelgood, then you should be feeling good about being able to operate in all of the gifts of the Spirit. You should be able to prophesy. You should be able to speak in tongues. You should be able to interpret in tongues. Mm-hmm. That's right. One thing that you can always tell about somebody who for the first time begins to prophesy is that they got to go into a series of tongues and begin to try to charge the atmosphere for the prophetic. That's not always necessary, but that's what happens when you're a novice. That's why Paul. Always talked about novices being in the ministry. If every time y'all got on Kingdom Voices and Apostle Hill before he began to prophesy to you, I got to go hi yeah I got to go speak it in a whole bunch of series of tongues and fall out and roll in the flow and spit up a few times and then come up and try to prophesy to you and I can barely stand up. Something wrong. Something wrong. And that means I might need to spend a little bit more time in the presence of God. Not to say that I may not be able to prophesy, but I may need to spend some more time in prayer. Because many of you that have claimed the prophetic and the apostolic titles and have claimed the pastoral and the bishop and elder roles, as well as the evangelists and those of teachers, by the time you hit those ascension offices, you should be a little bit more mature in your gifting. You should know exactly what gift to use at what time God wants you to use it. You should know how to administrate when you're being led by the Spirit. See, sometimes you might walk up in the service. I'll give you an example. Back in January, I spoke at a church here in Texas, and the first thing that God hit me to do was to exhort the people. And usually I would get up and I would probably just, speak a little bit. But the first thing that God hit me do was to exhort the people. And as I was exhorting them, the Spirit of God began to speak. And it was words of knowledge. I had like two or three words of knowledge that came forth and people began to come forward right away. And usually this is an indication that God has sent me to a church that practices kingdom rituals. They have a kingdom lifestyle there. The Bible says when the kingdom of God is preached, signs and wonders follow. And one thing about signs, when we're moving in the gifts of the Spirit, that usually as a result of using the gifts of the Spirit through its administration will cause a sign to come forth. And as a result of operating in the word of knowledge, people began to come forth and deliverance was taking place even before I got the message across. And then the Lord told me, he said, okay, stop it. Now go back and preach. And sometimes you have to listen to what God is saying when you're ministering. You can't always approach that pulpit the way that you've been designed or you've been programmed to do. A lot of us, we want to get up to the pulpit and then we start singing songs at the cross where I first saw. Come on now, we got to step it up a notch, y'all. I'm gonna step on some toes here tonight, y'all. Pray for me. But sometimes God wants us to do some things a little bit different, and this is why it's important for us, or in order for us to profit in the church, we need to learn how to administrate our giftings. Now, I'm kind of jumping back and forth here. I'm gonna build some foundation, but I want to catapult some of you leaders into another dimension because we got to change the program. The program that you've been using and operating in, as far as church as usual, is not working anymore. It's got to change. It's got to shift. God's saying something different. He's been saying something different every season. And if you can't keep up with the seasons, eventually you're not going to have enough fruit to bear when Jesus come by and do his inspection. I'm tapping my foot on that one. Hallelujah. Here, let's look at this scripture again. I want to go back to verse 11, where it says, "But all these worketh that one in the selfsame spirit, divided to every man severally, as he will." We have to first know which gifts operate in our life more so than the others. One of the things, if you were to and many of you that are more familiar with our ministry, if you have ever been a part of any of our services, you know, one of the things and the giftings that we move strongly in is the gifts of the gift of word of knowledge. We move strongly in the gift of the word of wisdom. And the Bible says in verse 8 here, it says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, and by the same Spirit." Another one is that is more that is really dominant in our ministry is the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. My wife moves very strongly in the psalmist and the prophetic anointing. She can prophesy in the song, and she moves unique in that area. One of the other areas that is real strong as far as our administration, which would fall in a more of a governmental setting, which is teaching. We're able to impart and to equip in that area. And as leaders, you need to know and you need to be able to identify that gifting that's working in your ministry so you could be a little bit more effective when you're ministering to God's people. If they got a conference set up and the conference is about deliverance, and you know good and well you don't have no deliverance ministry, maybe you need to not go to that conference, and maybe you need to say step back. Well, you know, Pastor, that's not my specialty. I mean, I can do some deliverance, I can pray, and I can intercede, but you would probably do better by getting a more skilled prophetic or apostolic officer that operates in deliverance. You know, one of the things that I would require of an evangelist or a prophet or even an apostle is that they're able to cast out devils. You know, and that's literally it, around. If you in our ministry, that's a requirement. You need to be casting out devils. You know, that's part of the anointing of an evangelist as well as an apostle. But as prophets should be carrying the same anointing, and that's necessary in your ministry. That which is again, it makes a good point. Sometimes prophetically, you're going to have to identify certain spirits that are in operation, and usually you would do that through word of knowledge. One of the things that we've done in deliverance training is that we've been able to use different leaders or even lay members that have the anointing or that have the gift of discerning of spirits as well as the gift of word of knowledge operating heavy in their life. You can literally use these people to do deliverance. So you may not have a strong anointing in the prophetic, but you have a strong anointing to as far as discerning the spirits. You can pick things up. You can tap into the and you can literally measure the atmosphere. You can almost some people are very keen in the word of knowledge when as far as praise and worship leaders go, is that they can almost measure the temperature of the praise and worship. They know when they need to shift from different types of praise songs to different types of worship songs in order to engage the people in heaven. And all of these things need to be operating. So, you know, as pastors, as apostles and bishops, as those that have their own, you know, their own churches and they're ministering to people, you need to know what gifts are yet operating in the people that are serving in your ministry's life. You need to know how to put them in place. All of this is important. Yeah, let's look at some more. I want to because I really want to spend some time in prophecy. Let's look at some more here. Verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into the Spirit, into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. All right, I want to skip over a couple here. I think the in this particular passage of scripture, probably one of my favorites is right around in verse 24, where it says, "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked." One thing we got to understand, y'all, in the church today, is that there are many ministries that, and this kind of saddens me. This is probably, and I'm gonna try my best not to lose this, because when you really have a passion to see the kingdom of God advance, and you start to see many churches falling by the wayside, and I'm not talking about just individuals, but I mean whole churches, where people are still moving in the norm, where it's literally like, in some places, there's literally like a false anointing there. Inkabob is all over the door. There's no presence of God there. You know, I was watching a program on television, and I heard that you know that, and y'all please forgive me, I'm not trying to bash anybody, but I heard that traditional, that Hammond B3 going, and then I heard the drums, and people just began to shout. And there was an individual that was coming up that really needed some help, and all it did was just pray for him, just a simple little prayer, and turn him away. I was like, "Are you serious? This person needs some deliverance. That person needed some devils cast out. You mean to tell me that that pastor that was in that was all the only power that they had was through the minstrels doing a da 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 da, and folks shouting a little bit, sweating out their clothes, and you just praying and over somebody, you lay hands on them and you say, and you go and scream, 'God did it!' Really? Did he really do it? Are you serious? We need some power, y'all. The church is lacking power. The church is, and many folks are flocking to ministries like this, and people are yet dying and falling by the wayside. We need some. We need the Lord to intervene in our programs, and we need the assistance of those that have the structure of the kingdom behind them to help us get from these dry places." The Bible says that demons dwell in dry places. Y'all think it was just talking about like graveyards and abandoned buildings or something? We got some churches that are literally dry. They dry. There's no fresh oil. There's no new wine. There is no administration of the Holy Spirit going on in many of these ministries, and we need God to intervene. And it's necessary that for us, those ministries that are thriving, that are moving in the direction of the Lord, and that are being obedient and striving in the things of God, that when we begin to recognize ministries like this, and we begin to come into contact with individuals like that, we need to ask the Lord to give us that wisdom. We need that word of wisdom, that gifting operating in our life, so we can know how to minister to them. We need to know how to say the right thing at the right time, and so we can begin to help them profit. And that's what the scripture says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." To profit withal. That means all of us can profit together if we can do the, if we take these gifts of the Spirit and we use them properly in the church. And I'm talking about the church as a whole. As I am to the point, I am sick and tired of seeing our brothers and sisters fall by the wayside. I'm sick and tired of seeing our brothers and sisters being caught up in the spirit of religion and still bound and can't get free. When you're in the same financial predicament that you was in 5 years ago right now, and you've been attending church every Sunday, something is wrong. If you're in the same predicament, job-wise, health-wise, period, at some point, when you're a part of the kingdom, you're supposed to advance. You're supposed to go forward. You're supposed to be set free. The scriptures tell us that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Oh, y'all not hearing me tonight. The gifts of the Spirit is used to every man, for every man to profit withal. And we need to use the gifts of the Spirit need to be operating in our churches. And if they're not operating in these churches, they usually end up just as dry. Here, look at the rest of this scripture here, verse 25. It says that there should be no ism, no, there should be no schism in the body, that the members should have the same care one for another. One thing that bothers me about many of our churches is that we don't have enough unity. We don't. We got more cliques in the church than we do in the world. We got one clique going in the back pew. We got a clique going on in the back office. We got a clique going on in the front. All of these different cliques are going on in the churches, and we don't have no unity. And then there are leadership cliques. You got network cliques. You got all of these different cliques going on, and there's no unity. And then we're struggling with the effectiveness of using the gifts of the Spirit in the church as a result of this. See, when there's no unity, we can't be strengthened and we cannot profit with these gifts of the Spirit. Here, look at this. Watch this. Look at verse 26. It says, "And whether one member suffer," y'all pay attention to this, "and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it." Let me say that again. "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it." So, you know, we got to get on one accord, y'all. We have to. We either gonna profit together, or we gonna lose the gain and the advancement and the access together. If you made it to the top, go back and get your brother and bring him back up with you. We do not leave, no, and I ain't talking about left behind, but we do not leave no man behind. We go back and we encourage one another, and we bring them into that place that God is calling them into as well. If it takes us to prophesy, if it takes us to speak in tongues and intercede, you know, the scripture, the Lord just dropped this in my spirit, another familiar scripture to many of you, over in the book of Romans chapter 8 in verse 26 through 28, when it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And it's time out for just being so selfish and just believing God for your job and believing God for your car and believing God for what you need in your family and believing God for Lord, you see me going through over here? No, you need to stop for 5 minutes and start praying for your brothers. Start praying for your sisters. Start touching and agreeing. Where two or three touch together, will touch and agree on something. Come on, somebody. We need to start holding one another up in prayer and believing God for somebody else to make it. When you start believing for somebody else, I guarantee you God going to start blessing you. Here, let's go. Let's go. I feel a shift. I'm ready to shift. The leaders, if you're leaders on this line tonight, hang in here with me, because I really feel in my spirit, I feel a prophetic thrust tonight. Let's shift here tonight. Let's look at the verse 27. I'm still in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go to verses 28. Let's go to verse 28. And it says, "And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." I'm going to try to do some quick review for some of my folks that's on the line tonight. That's been under our teaching before. Let me do some quick review. One of the things about apostolic ministry, if you're an apostle, one of the things about apostles, all apostles are prophets, but not all prophets are apostles. If you're taking notes, you really need to take and mark that down, because a lot of people got it twisted. I have never seen in a time ever in my life I've been in church most of my life. I've been in ministry almost 20 years, and I've never seen ever in a time of my life where we put a lot of emphasis on titles. And for half the folks that's carrying titles ain't got no power. But I want to say this up front real quickly, is that, again, all apostles are prophets, but not all prophets are apostles. There are a lot of people that I've seen with prophetic titles, whether they're prophetess or prophets, and it's almost like immediately in 2-3 months, because a couple of folks prophesied to them and said that they were apostles, they automatically start calling themselves apostles. Come on, y'all. If God didn't say it, if God didn't mold you into it, if God didn't groom you for it, if he hadn't prepared you for it, be careful. You know, the Lord said to me, and matter of fact, I shared this with an elder last night, how it's one thing to pay a price for the call of God that's on your life. It's one thing to pay a price for the anointing of God that rests on you. It's one thing to pay a price to minister to God's people, but it's another thing for it to cost you your life for the apostolic call. Oh, y'all, yeah, that right there, if you caught that, that's going to bless you. It cost you your life for the apostolic call. It cost you your life. Have you ever read what happened to them dudes in the Bible? Everybody that was an apostle, have you ever read what happened to them, with the exception of the apostle John? If you haven't, go back and study the scriptures. Go back and study them carefully. It's cost you your life. Not only does it cost you your life unto death, but it cost you your life, period. Your life is not your own. You literally become a servant. Even as a prophet, you become a servant, not only of the Most High God, but you become a servant to the people. You the nasty, sticky stuff at the bottom of the pot. You that gooky stuff that don't nobody want to deal with. I was sharing with Apostle Blair. We were having a conversation one night, and we were talking about how the apostles and the prophets are the foundational stones of the church. We're those foundational governmental teachers. And anytime, if you look at a foundation in the natural, before anything get erected, before any walls go up, everybody walking all over it. Somebody just got blessed. Somebody just got delivered just from that right there. If y'all listening carefully, before you think in your mind and in your heart that the apostleship and the prophetship is some elevated office, remember, you're gonna get all walked over before it's all said and done. You're gonna pay a high cost for the anointing that's on your life, the prophetic words that come forth out of your mouth, and you can tell, because the more accurate your words are, the more fight you have in the spirit realm. When you bringing forth accuracy, and you're blessing someone and you're causing their life to profit, you pay a price for that. And it's necessary as an apostle and as a prophet that you spend time in prayer when God has given you that anointing to move in that. Now, you got some that just move in a regular gift of prophecy, and their prophecy, that anointing is very accurate. And when they're prophesying, you know, I love when we have services where we have the praise and worship leaders, when they come forth and sing in song, and then they're able to minister prophetically through the praise and worship music, and then they can come forth and prophesy, and then the elders can come forth and they can prophesy, and then every now and then you may have the prophets will come forth and the prophetess, and they can prophesy, and then they can move in a more strategic mantle as they begin to prophesy, because they have that authority. They're literally the orifice of God and the mouthpiece of God, and they can speak forth prophetically what God wants to speak to the church for that hour, and thrust them and move them and prepare them for the word of God that's coming. Amen. It's good when we have that anointing that's stirring in the midst of the people. And then you have those that just are anointed to prophesy. They just have that they have that gifting, whether they're an apostle, whether they're a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, bishop, elder, deacon, it don't matter. I don't care if you're Dr. Feel Good, Reverend, whatever you call yourself. But then there are those that have that anointing to just prophesy. And every time they speak a prophetic word, it just literally shifts the whole entire ministry. It shifts the church. It shifts the atmosphere. It opens up the heavens. It gives us access to God's glory. It literally causes signs and wonders to come forth in the ministry. It literally sets the place up. It sets us up for miracles. It sets us up for wonders. It sets us up for a governmental shift to take place even in a city. You can tell when you're a sent ministry in a city, because as the prophets begin to come forth and they begin to prophesy, you literally shift the economical and the political government in your city or even in your region. Something happens, something transpires when the prophets come forth and they prophesy in an ordained sent church. God literally begins to interrupt what takes place in that region. And this is why it's necessary, like I was saying earlier, you need to know your assignment. You need to know who God called you to, where God called you to, where he's placing you. See, some of you had windows of opportunities that was open that God wanted to geographically shift you, and you didn't move quick enough, and that opportunity is not there anymore. Usually when this happens, a lot of people have to wait 10 or 20 years before they get that opportunity again. And you have to be led by the Spirit. And when you're being led by the Spirit and you're moving in the gifts of the Spirit, the Bible says that we profit with all. I really want to put that in y'all spirit tonight. You need to profit with all when you move in the gifts. And so let me back up. I want to go back because we were talking about how all apostles are prophets, but not all prophets are apostles. All seers are prophets, but not all prophets are seers. Y'all catch that? There is a difference. There are those that operate in a seer dimension. They have an anointing to see. And sometimes when we operate in the basic gift of prophecy, sometimes you may have a anointing that will fall on you where you can literally see. And what God will reveal to you, I usually refer to these as mini visions. A lot of times when I'm prophesying, especially when we're prophesying on conference calls and on radio programs and individuals that we're speaking to, I don't have a physical look of who that person is. All I can see is the spirit. But God will oftentimes release in my spirit a mini vision, and I would see something moving. I'll see something transpiring, something in transition. I'll see some sort of action coming forth as a result of the person that God has me prophesying to. And I call these mini visions. And this is often, it's very important for anyone who really moves in the gift of prophecy. You always want to open up your heart to be able to see what the Lord is revealing and also be able to hear what the Lord is saying. And when you're moving in the basic gift of prophecy, that is so important. It's essential in the prophetic, and it will also cause that person that you're prophesying to profit with all. Amen. So if you're taking notes, please make sure you note that down. If you need to go back and listen to the program, make sure you're recording that. But now, again, you have those special prophets. Now, every now and then you'll have an apostle. Remember what I said. Every apostle are prophets. They're usually prophets first, but not all prophets are apostles. Every now and then you'll have a prophet or an apostle that carries a seer anointing. I call these the anointings of the Apostle John's. If you understand anything about the Apostle John had that seer anointing on his life. He was able to tap into or access heaven. The Bible says that he was on the Isles of Patmos and he was caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And God gave him one of the greatest revelations and visions that man has ever had. And so he had that anointing as a seer. You have many Old Testament prophets who were types of apostles that operated in that dimension. I'll give you an example as one as being Daniel. A lot of us would say that Daniel was just, you know, he was just pretty much a prophet, but he was also a type of an apostle. Daniel was third in the Babylonian kingdom. He was third to the king. So this man had some clout. He had some authority, and he had some structure behind him that caused him to move in great power. So he was definitely a type of an apostle, but he was also a seer prophet. And then you have others like Jeremiah and many of those, Ezekiel, all of these seer prophets, these seer anointings. Now, every now and then, God will raise up an individual that really only moves in that seer anointing. There are awesome men and women of God. For an example, I'll give you one, James Gould. I don't know if any of you ever heard of his ministry. John Paul John, I think his name is John Paul John. John Paul James or something, I forget his name. He's on the East Coast. All these men of God definitely are prophetic people, but they have a very powerful seer anointing on their life. They're able to see things that God reveals to them in the Spirit, and they're able to tap into that thing and able to revelate it and teach it to us. Oftentimes, you know, many of the prophets that are linked with our ministry, I would tell them, I would refer them to some of James Gould's books because he has a powerful revelation concerning dreams and visions. I'm telling you, if you're one of those leaders that frequently operate in dreams and visions, you definitely wanted to get a hold of some of his material. That's James Gould, and Gold spelled G-O-L-L. You got other leaders that oftentimes come on programs like Sid Roth. Most of the leaders that come on there, these leaders are usually apostolic and prophetic, and even some of them are evangelists. They move in great power. They move in the supernatural. And that's what we will refer to here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, where it talks about after the thirdly teaches, it says, after that, miracles and then gifts of healing. You got some leaders that move strategically in nothing but the miracles, and they access those miracles by way of dreams and visions, by way of the supernatural. They know how to access the heavens. They know how to minister under our open heaven. Signs and wonders are usually a normal thing in their ministry. You literally see the power of God operating, and there's always the anointing of the prophetic operating in those type of ministries. And so many of you tonight that carry evangelical anointings or evangelistic anointings on your life, I want to encourage you, if you're not moving in the gifts of the Spirit very heavily, that definitely tonight we want to empower you and we want to release you to move into the supernatural in a much greater way. As a matter of fact, thank you, Lord. I want to flip over to the book of Acts chapter 8. Before I go any further, more into the prophetic here tonight, but go over to the book of Acts chapter 8, and I want you to take a quick look at evangelist Philip, his ministry here. Again, the book of Acts chapter 8, and his ministry begins here. I'll just begin with verse 1. It says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So keep, I want you to keep careful watch over here, because a lot of times some of you all may not be physically connected to your apostle. Some of you might have apostles that are far off, yet they're covering you and they're keeping you in tune in the things of God, and they're blessing you. They're praying for you. They're praying for your family. They're believing God for your ministry. They're holding you up in the Lord, and yet they're still believing God for you to continue to advance the kingdom. This is a good example of a ministry gift that is afar off from his apostles. Watch this in verse 2, it says, "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him," or godly weeping. In verse 3, it says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." Verse 4 says, "Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them." I love this. This is probably one of my favorites in the scriptures. And, and verse 6 says, "And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." Now watch this. A confirmation of your ministry and who you are in the Lord, and what God has ordained for you to do, and how you operate, will come as a confirmation from the people of God that God sent you to. Look at this again. Verse 6, he says, "And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." When you're ministering, the people need to hear and see. This is why I've been harping on these churches that just get up in the pulpit on Sunday morning. They open up the book. They preach you happy until you shout out your next cleaning bill, and then they close up the book and go home. This vexes me. The Bible says here, again, in verse 6, he says, "And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." He said he spake it, which means he preached Christ. Then they said they heard him preaching it, and then they saw him doing miracles. Verse 7 says, "For unclean spirits," he had signs going on in his ministry, y'all. He had signs and wonders. "For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." Anytime the glory of God shows up in your region, the people begin to shout how great it is. Acts chapter 4 begins to reveal to us the second outpouring of God's Spirit. The Bible says that there was great grace and great power on the church. When you look at this particular passage of Scripture, here it says in Samaria that there was great joy. There was great joy as a result of the signs and wonders that was taking place in the evangelist Philip's ministry. Here, verse 9 says, "But there was a..." No, I'm going to skip over there. I don't want to talk about Simon just yet. Let's look at verse 12. Let's go to verse 12, y'all. "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." All the men and women had access to the kingdom this time. At first, it used to be only the men. Now, the men and the women had access. Let's go to verse 15. It says, I'm going to skip back up. Let's go up to 14. It says, "Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John." Verse 15 says, "Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for it was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, then they received the Holy Ghost." What's interesting about this is that the power of God hit the Samaria church. Pow, pow, pow. I mean, it hit them, y'all. And the Bible says, and then one of them filled up with the Holy Ghost. They was getting healed. They was getting delivered. Lame was walking. People were being, devils was being cast out. People was being set free by the power of God. And the Bible says there was great joy. Literally, the glory of God fell upon Samaria. Bam, just hit them hard. And all Philip did was go and dunk him in some water and baptize him. He called on the apostles, and here it is. Now they receive the Holy Ghost. Their salvation, the anointing, everything was confirmed as the apostles came and moved in and put everything into perspective. Let me tell y'all, you don't have to go through no great extremities for the gifts of the Spirit to move in your church. You don't have to turn flips, and you don't have to sweat out your best Sunday's best. Come on, somebody. You do not have to go through all these extremities for the power of God to hit your church. I think we're doing too much works right now, and we got all kind of interference. We're interfering with what God wants to do. And all he's requiring for us is to preach the kingdom of God. When Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He didn't come with no fancy articulation. He didn't have on no long robes and collars. He didn't have on no fish hats. He didn't have on any of these outfits that we see all these folks standing up in the pulpit with, trying to be all perpendicular and stiff neck with, and there wasn't no Hammond B3 playing in Acts chapter 8. There wasn't no drums, and there wasn't no cymbals going forth. It wasn't none of this happening. The only thing that we see here going forth is that the anointing and the power of God had hit the Samaritan region, all because one man showed up and was willing to preach the gospel of the kingdom. When you continue to read Philip's story, you see that he came upon a man who was a eunuch, and after he preached Christ to this eunuch, I love this story. I mean, if y'all ain't never studied Acts chapter 8, I'm telling you, this is a good story to read to your children at night. They would be fascinated. Look at this in verse 38. It says, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Verse 39 says, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip." This New Testament church, y'all, we talking about after Christ had ascended into heaven. This, I'm talking about literally the glory of God caught Philip away. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Verse 40, look at this. This is, pay close attention to this. It says, "But Philip was found at Azotus." Azotus, geographically from where Peter was literally 26 miles away. The Holy Spirit literally caught him up. And literally transported him in the spirit and put him in another region. I'm telling you, when you allow the Spirit of God to come in and you got the gifts of the Spirit moving in your and operating in your ministry, and people begin to profit from the things of God as a result of the administration and the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in your church, things are going to transpire in your church that you've never witnessed before, because the power of God will hit it, and it will literally transform the minds and the hearts of every people and every person sitting in your church. It's time out for our regular programs as usual. God is trying to release an anointing that's on the church, a prophetic anointing that will cause us to prophesy more, a prophetic anointing that will cause us to move in the word of wisdom more, a prophetic anointing that will cause us to begin to intercede and groan and moan in the spirit and begin to pray for our brothers and sisters over in Japan and begin to pray for our brothers and sisters down in Haiti and begin to pray for our brothers and sisters down in Chile and begin to release the anointing and the power of God through the prophetic utterance that's coming forth from out of our belly. The Bible says that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. God is looking for some people that can flow in the prophetic, that can move in the prophetic, that can pray in the prophetic, that can prophesy in the prophetic, that can speak in tongues and interpret from the prophetic, that can lay hands and move by the power of God, prophesying through the word of knowledge through the prophetic. God is looking for prophetic people. That's how we're going to begin to shift the church in this region. That's how we're going to shift the church through this nation. That's how we're going to shift the church and move in the direction that God is calling us to. If you're trying to discern things in the natural and compare it to the book of Revelation, I'm going to step on some more toes tonight. Why everybody trying to escape and go home, the Bible says the kingdom of God's still going to advance. The church still win, y'all. This is not the condition that Christ will have the church to be in before his return. We have got to get on our job post, and we need to be about the Father's business. Some of you all that are in ministry right now that are listening under the sound of my voice, you don't prophesy enough. You're not speaking in tongues enough. Paul said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. I remember I was on the highway, and I was on my way to work one day, and I was just praying in the spirit, and praying in the spirit. And for some reason, in about 15 minutes, a spirit of peace began to come on me. And I was like, well, Lord, why was I praying like that in order for me to feel that like a burden was being lifted? And the Lord said, well, son, I wasn't really trying to alert you to anything, or was I trying to warn you of anything? I wanted you to understand something. Do you know why Paul said he prayed in tongues more than you all? If you look at the scriptures, the Bible says when we pray in the unknown tongue, we edify our spirit man. Some of you are not edifying your spirits enough. You're not building up your inner man enough. You're just sitting around saying a common prayer and going forth in your everyday, and you're not spending enough time in intercession and speaking in your heavenly language. This will engage your spirit and cause your spirit to begin to tap into the heavens so that you can begin to access that prophetic word that God wants you to begin to use for the lives of his people. More and more, we sitting on stuff, y'all. Some of y'all right now, Father God, in Jesus' name, everyone that's listening up under the sound of my voice on this program tonight, God, I speak into their bellies, God, and I speak to the wells, God. I speak to the rivers of living waters right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, and I decree that they shall flow now in the name of Jesus. I speak to everyone right now, Father, listening under the sound of my voice, that out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you right now, Father, for springs of wells coming forth right now, Father. I thank you for wells that will gush forth, Father, with the gifts of the Spirit, Father. I thank you for wells, God, that will give forth now, Lord, like never before, that these people, God, will begin to prophesy. Lord, they begin to prophesy to their communities. They begin to prophesy to their regions. They begin to prophesy to the government, God. They begin to prophesy, Father, to those that they come into contact with on the streets, God. They begin to prophesy in the convenience stores. They begin to prophesy in the malls, God, that they begin to prophesy, God, like never before, God. Lord, send flames of fire, God, that they may prophesy, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for every prophetic person, God, with a prophetic anointing, with a prophetic mantle, God, on their life tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Father, for those that will demonstrate the kingdom of God, Lord, through signs and wonders and miracles, God. Those that will flow, God, in the gifts of the Spirit so that the church may profit withal, God, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. One thing I do feel led to share before I open the lines tonight, I want y'all to keep in mind that prophetic words that are spoken over your life are always for a condition. It's always a condition. I've come into contact with many people, and it was kind of amazed me because I had an opportunity to fellowship with some people in the last month or two from some very well-known prophetic ministries here in Texas. And we're talking, and somebody asked me about my time in ministry, and and they were just kind of it was a blessing. Sometimes it's a blessing when people honor you, and you have to know how to be humble when people are complimenting the anointing that's on your life. And it really didn't dawn on me that that the Lord had been using me in the prophetic for almost 20 years. And one thing that I've learned is that there are people that you would prophesy to that, or people that you know that have received prophetic words from others, that they really don't know how to carry out that prophetic word. Some folks search for prophetic word after prophetic word. They go from one conference call to the next. They go from one radio program to the next. They jump from ministry to ministry, always looking for a prophetic word. And after a while, you be in a prophetic mess or a pathetic mess because you've been just literally like you all over the place. The worst thing that you can do is continually get prophetic words from outside sources and outside people and don't have a covering. That's the worst thing that you can do. Reason why I say that, let me zone your attention again back on the scriptures. I love the scriptures because there are checks and balances. There literally are our checklists in the spirit, and they give us clarity of what God intends for us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I want to take your attention over to verse 29. It says, let the prophet speak, two or three, and let the other judge. Let me just give you a quick lesson in prophecy, especially in local church prophecy. I'll even give you a quick lesson even in, because it's still, the principle is still the same even for conference lines and radio programs, internet radio, whatever, wherever you get your source of the prophetic, it's still the same. Anytime someone is giving you a prophetic word, there needs to be two or three others by that can judge that prophetic word. I'm going to say that again. And these need to be skilled prophets. These need to be prophets that have been before the Lord, number one, and they need to have had some tenure in the prophetic. I oftentimes say that you would need to go and take that prophetic word that you received to an elder of the church or someone that is part of the prophetic presbytery. Those that are equipped in the prophetic, they can judge that word that had come forth into your life. They can measure the anointing that's on it. They can also look into the realm of the spirit and see whether that prophetic word was from God, and they can also sit back on it and take their time with it to judge it as well. They don't have to sit there at that particular moment and say whether that word came from God or not. Sometimes you might need to sit on that. You might need to hear from God just a little longer, and this is important. So you always want to take that prophetic word that you receive and have it judged. You always want to do that. Some of you may receive a prophetic word from me tonight or even from someone else on this line. And you may feel in your spirit, well, you know, Apostle, I think you're on point, but maybe I need to sit on that. And that's cool and dandy. You should. You really should. You know, nine times out of ten, you know, and I want to believe God that the prophetic word that we would release would be that word that God intended for you to have. It is ordained from heaven. It will line up with Scripture. It will line up with your life. It will cause you to profit. But if you are not sure whether that word was released from God or not, you need to take that word. You need to take it, and you need to sit with other prophets and have it weighed. You need to have it measured. Here, look at this scripture here. Verse 30 says, if anything be revealed to any other that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one. Every last one of y'all that's on this call tonight, all of y'all are able to prophesy. Amen. Matter of fact, hold your finger right there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 30 and flip over to the book of Revelation. One thing about prophecy is that everybody at some point is capable of prophesying in the church. Even a layman, a new convert can prophesy if the anointing falls on the church for him to prophesy. Over in Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. Let's look at that scripture when you get there. Turn there quickly. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. It says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of the brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So a lot of times when we engage in prophecy or we engage in worship in our local churches, sometimes the angels of the Lord will come and assist us and they'll assist us in having access to the throne room during worship. And at that point, we'll be able to testify of Jesus Christ and the spirit of prophecy will come into the room. At any point, and everyone in the sanctuary should be able to prophesy. I can guarantee y'all, many of y'all that have sat in services and the anointing was very heavy. At some point, you felt like you thought you saw the glory cloud come in. The power of God hit the services because the worship was so heavy. And you could feel in your spirit that God was speaking to you and there was a prophetic utterance in your spirit. This is really true in the sense that a lot of times God will move in the worship and cause a spirit of prophecy to come on us. The anointing will be so heavy everybody can prophesy. Heck, you give the children about 10 or 12 minutes while they're in that worship, and if they're seriously into the worship, they can prophesy too. That's how powerful the spirit of prophecy is. And we need to learn how to allow ourselves to be equipped in that when the Spirit of God will come in. Here, look at this, verse 32. It says, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets." Verse 33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." So one thing we need to understand is that when somebody begins to prophesy, that their spirit as a prophet to another prophet is subject to one another. When you study the scriptures, if you go in the book of Haggai and so on and so forth, you'll see that there were prophets that worked with types of apostles. Zerubbabel was a type of an apostle. He worked with the prophet Haggai, and they worked alongside each other. Apostles and prophets are like buddies half the time. Remember, all apostles are prophets, but not all prophets are apostles. But when them two get together, there's something about the prophetic that begins to stir. But I believe in this time, and, you know, for the last couple of years, I've been teaching how God was raising up prophetic apostles, and he was raising up apostolic prophets, and how the two are going to complement one another because of the anointing that is needed for the church in this hour. Literally, the way that we structure a church now, it's got to be done prophetically. You just cannot go in and build a church by a program or by some form of protocol. God will require you to be led by the Spirit when you build his church. One thing somebody asked me, said, "Well, Apostle Hill, when are you going to start your services up here in Temple?" I said, "Well, I'm not going to have a church service. We're going to do some kingdom. Y'all had enough church here." I just told him straight up, "We're just going to do some kingdom." Because it's ridiculous how much church y'all having out here. It's just ridiculous. We y'all need some kingdom. We need some kingdom saturation going on here. We need to cast out some devils. We need to prophesy. We need to lay hands on some folks. We need to release some folks from into their destiny. We need to charge some people to move in their destiny. It's a lot of work to do when you in a church going city. Everybody going to church, but ain't nobody having kingdom. And this is a process. I think I made this word up. This is a process I call being kingdomized. There are folks that really need to be kingdomized. Amen. So it's important that we begin to allow ourselves to when we're receiving a prophetic word, to take that prophetic word and allow a individual or a team, a prophetic team, a prophetic presbytery, the elders of the church to take that word and properly judge it. That's important. It's required, and I believe that it will bless you and it will cause you to profit with all. And if you're one of those people that's been chasing prophecies for the last couple of years, and whether you getting on your face and praying and crying out to God for yourself, you had to go get a prophetic word. Shame on you. Shame on you. You need to get in the presence of the Lord, and you need to seek the face of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these other things will be added unto you. All these prophetic utterances that you've been believing God to come forth on. You should a person that's being led by the Spirit, a prophetic word that come, man, that's nothing. You already know what the Lord's speaking to you. By the time you hear it, you know for a while, you know without a shadow of a doubt that's definitely God, because you've been hearing the Lord speak all along, because you've been in His presence, you've been on your face down, heart up. You've been in a posture of worship. You've been in a place where God has spoken into your life and is grooming you for kingdom restoration, grooming you for kingdom revitalization, grooming you for the best, preparing you for an even greater day. Amen. Amen. I'm going to take a breather here. I'm going to go into a song. Amen. And y'all just bear with me. We'll come back, and then I want to open up the lines, and we'll give everyone an opportunity to maybe ask a few questions, and then we'll begin to move in the prophetic tonight for those that need prayer and a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Your name is holy. Let the weight of your glory fall. Hallelujah. Let the weight of your glory fall on us tonight, Father. Hallelujah. Let the weight of your glory fall, God, that we may speak prophetically to your people tonight, God. Let the weight of your glory, Father, cause us to have access, God, as the prophetic orifice of you, God, that we may be connected to the heavens, God, and speak directly from the throne room, O God, tonight, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Father, and we honor you tonight, Father, for we know that you are the blesser and the giver of gifts unto me and God. And Lord, we pray now in Jesus' name that you would just use us, O God, for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. Real quickly, I want to make a couple announcements as I'm opening up the lines. If you got some noise in the background, please feel free to mute your lines if you can. We would like to go ahead and begin our next upcoming School of the Prophets. If you would visit our website over at www.kingdomexosia.org, we do have a new website up. The old website is still up. I still have it up for just one reason, but it will be shut down permanently before the end of the month. So, and reason why we kept it up, because we were still yet continually to get international connections through that website. I literally, y'all, when we were still in Indiana, we were getting at least an average of 2 invitations a day to come and preach overseas. And as much as we talked about it, I don't know if anybody ever recognized that what God wanted to do. And that's one of the reasons why we continually called our ministry an international ministry, because so many pastors and apostles and bishops and leaders from Africa, from the Philippines, from India, from Pakistan would contact us regularly and invite us to come and preach in their churches. And still yet to this day, we still get as many contacts. So that's one of the reasons why I haven't shut it down yet. But it will be shut down, and I'm going to start forwarding some of the information for those that emailed us on those sites for our new website. So, again, if you haven't had an opportunity yet, go and check out our new website. It's still in the process of coming forth, but there's some things on there. There's some basic things on there that we got and that I'm pretty sure that will bless you. And it's a www.kingdomexosia.org. That's kingdomexosia, EXOUSIA.org. And that's our newly established ministry here in Texas. Man, we praise God for all that he's doing. I had no idea. If you had asked me a year ago where I was going to be, I ain't no way anywhere I could have told you I'd be here in Texas. But I thank God, amen, for the move, amen, and for the transition. and for being obedient to what he told us to do. And my wife and I have truly been blessed since we've been here. And we haven't experienced nothing but his glory. In spite of what's going on and everybody's complaining and talking about this, that, and the other, all we can say, well, praise God. God been good to us, and he continues to keep on blessing us. Amen. So we just grateful for what the Lord is doing. But, again, you can actually go to that website, and there is a bar up there that says you can be a part of the email updates. All you have to do is click the button and enter your information in. We even got a like button for the Facebook, Twitter. This particular website is a little bit more active or interactive, so we still plan on doing a little bit more with it in the days to come. But right now it's just pretty basic, and you can leave all of your information. And I posted some of it down in the chat room for some of you. Our ministry number is 1-800-724-0245. Again, it's 1-800-724-0245. If you want to leave me a message and say you're interested in the School of the Prophets, that would be great. You can email me, let me know you're interested. Just leave me your information. And then once we get at least 25 people that are interested, we're going to go ahead and set the date and set the time, and it's going to be really consistent. I know Misty's on the line, and even Shamikia. Y'all remember the last time we did something like that, and it was so inconsistent with the people that kept coming in and out that it was a distraction for those that was really hungry. So it's definitely going to be different this time, and if anybody interested again, go ahead and let us know, and we'll get that situated quickly. And that's something that the Lord put on my heart to jump right into within the next month or so. But we need to make sure that we get that number of people so that we can have the we can keep the expenses low and be able to utilize certain tools and even the conference rooms here in the city in order to establish that. Amen. So again, the information's in the chat room. If you're interested, go ahead and put that in, and you can join all our email updates. It's a professional website, y'all. It'll have something that's interactive on the website that you'll receive. It won't just be no regular HTML or plain text email. It will literally be an active email. So go and check that out. And keep us in your prayers. There's so many things are happening, so many open doors, and God is just doing some wonderful things for us here in Temple, Texas. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Also, some of you may be receiving a email from us in reference to the radio ministry that God has given us. We still have an offer on the table, y'all, and I'm just asking God to really put us in a position where we can remain consistent, and that's really going to take the love of God's people to help us with this. We got an offer to go on the radio in 4 states. And also, there's another offer for us to take up our own internet radio program that will be the official Kingdom Voices internet radio. And we want to offer time slots for other ministries for that as well. It's going to run 24/7. So we're going to be sending that information out. Some of you all will be getting that. We are serious about streamlining the gospel of the kingdom across the world, and I'm just excited about it. I'm so excited about it, y'all. I'm jumping up praising God even now. Hallelujah. So if the Lord put it on your heart to partner with us to tap into that vision, amen. Come on, y'all. Let's celebrate, because we mean business. We really seriously mean business. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 Okay, somebody listening to the wrong website, but all right, y'all. I'm gonna release the calls. Amen. If you guys have any questions, if you want to speak forth now, amen. Come on, come forth, and then I want to be a blessing to you and move as the Lord will have me to move tonight and continue with our subject on prophecy and the anointing to prophesy. Praise God. Glory to God.
Good evening. My name is Prophetess Seabrook, and I'm actually on your website, and I enjoyed you on last night on Brian's website.
Uh-huh.
On Brian's prayer line.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to find out, I'm on your website now, on your kingdom, and I'm trying to find where I can get in not in contact, but I'm trying to find out where I can, like, you know, do the Twitter, the Facebook, and stuff like that, and then how can I sign the, like, you know, the guest book and stuff?
Okay, that's on there. It's actually there's not a link, an actual link to our. I don't think it's an actual link to either the Facebook or the Twitter on there, but it is a like button on there, and it. If y'all give me a minute, I'm gonna have to put that on there. But I am on Facebook. If you guys are looking for it, it's just you can either put in my full name or just search Apostle L.A. Hill. It should come right up.
I did it and didn't work.
Okay. Kingdom Ixjosia is on there. If you put in Kingdom Ixjosia Ministries International, it's a Facebook page for that. That's a group page, and then you should be able to find my page from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cause I was on your page, so it was like I was trying to find out. But I really want to say that first and foremost, I really enjoyed you on last night on Brian's prayer line, and you really spoke the truth. You spoke the word of God. I mean, you proclaimed the word on last night, and I really, you know, I tried to get the information, but it seemed like I couldn't get the information. I was trying to find the information on today, and I was having some problems, but now I found the information that I needed, so that way I can go ahead and add you. But like I said, I truly, truly enjoyed you on last night. You had a word.
Well, praise God, praise God. And what you say your name again is?
Prophetess Christina Seabrook.
All right, Prophet. Where you from?
Tacoma, Washington, but actually I'm from Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, all right. God doing some wonderful things up on the Northwest Coast. That's an awesome place to be in this season. There is a move of God that has really never been experienced before. That's been going forth now in the last 5 years up there. It would be a blessing if you can find those that literally serve in the kingdom and the apostolic and prophetic capacity up there, because it is so fresh and so new. It would literally move you past even some of the cliques that's we're experiencing in some of our states in the South and in the Midwest, even on the East Coast. They're literally being birthed into a different dimension, and really the direction that God is moving many of those leaders in that region is going to be a shift and a change in the way that we view and do ministry across this nation as well. Every specific location that God places us in affects the entire nation some point or the other. And I think I was explaining that a little bit last night. But the word of the Lord for you is that you really literally need to begin to come forth in an even greater tone. There's a boldness that God is trying to bring out of you. There is a level of authority that God has equipped you with that you're not using enough.
Mm.
And you really need to begin to separate some things in the spirit, as well as place some things in order in the spirit. That prophetic authority that God has given you to walk in is very similar to the anointing that rested upon the prophetess Deborah's life, as well as the prophetess Huldah's life as well. Are you familiar with the two prophets, prophetess that I'm speaking of?
Yes, ma'am. I mean,
okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So these particular anointings that's resting on you, God wants you to begin to move into that, and he's equipping you to do more. Even in the area of your study, God wants to birth more wisdom, and he wants to begin to draw you into a place of more intimacy in his word. You have a ministry of revelation, whereas you your ears are real in tune. It's almost as if when you hear something spoken prophetically through the word, through words of wisdom, and just through a good word that's been articulated from the pulpit that brings deliverance, it's like your ears begin to perk, because it's something that triggers in your spirit. And the reason why this is happening is because of the anointing that God put in you to revelate the word also. And so God wants you to really begin to become more intimate with him in your study, become more intimate with him in your prayer. Remember, y'all, your posture of worship is head down, heart up. Don't forget that.
Let me write that down. Head up.
And that's the place where God is calling you to, as you begin to enter into a even brighter day, not just a new season. I heard the Lord say a brighter day. There's some things that God want to reveal to you. It's like the night is passing over. The morning cometh. It's a new day. And as God just begins to reawaken you and draw you more so into the kingdom, just allow him, while you in that posture of worship, to be catapulted into the throne room. Because there's some because there's some things that God want to reveal to you. And as he reveal it to you, I'm telling you, it's gonna change the way you think. It's gonna change the way you eat. It's gonna change the way you look at people. They're gonna think you weird when God get done with you. You gonna be pointed at and looked on being different because of that anointing that's in you. But that's all right. That's the way God is setting you up.
Hallelujah.
And woman of God, you need to sing more. I don't know if you.
Yes, I do. I am a pro singer. I am a pro singer. Yes, I am.
Yeah, you need to sing that it need to come out of your belly. You need to begin to flow in it. And God designed you to be an instrument. You are literally an instrument of worship that God wants to begin to use through ministry. And I'm telling you, when you step forth and begin to move boldly in the prophetic and begin to operate in that song, there's some things that's going to come out of your spirit that's going to literally slay the people under the power of God.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
This is definitely not a time to look to the left or the right. Set your face like a flint and get in a posture of worship. Head down, heart up. That's the only posture of worship. Your heart got to be in the right place. And the only way that you get your heart in the right place is it got to be raised toward God. And your head can't have nothing to do with it.
That's true. Thank you, God.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, thank you, God.
Thank
you,
Lord.
Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to
thank
God. Are you in a church now?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay.
I do travel. I got family down in Texas, but yes, sir, I do travel.
Okay. All right. Praise God. Well,
I got family that are actually I have an uncle that's a pastor down there, and then he's actually married, and then his wife was a first lady, but they're not Kojic. To be honest, Christ, they're non-denomination, but yes, I do travel.
Okay. All right. Well, like I tell everybody, if you're ever down in Texas, look me up.
I will be looking you up. I will, because I do want to come to your church. I would love to come and be a blessing. I would come and
if you know where Fort Hood and Killeen and all them places
is,
that's where we at. We right around there, down in Temple. That's where we are. Literally.
Yes, sir.
Literally
I know, cause that's what my family lives. It's Killeen and Fort Hood, you know, and stuff like that. And I mean, I would love to come and be a blessing to y'all's ministry.
Well,
you know,
God.
Just let me know. I mean, I wanted to say something on last night, but I couldn't, you know, because somebody decided that they wanted to block me. But anyway, to God be the glory. But yes, I just, you know, it's been. I've been going through some things, but, you know, only God knows.
Well, praise God. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Amen. Just continue to trust Him. Continue to trust Him. It's a new day for you. It's a new day. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Mm. Praise God. Thank
Man
you,
of
Jesus.
God, can you pray for me and my husband, my household?
Amen. What's your name?
My name is Latasha Rodriguez. I'm actually Prophet Seabrook, so I met her when I got here in Washington State. I'm from Savannah, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And he moved us here in June last year. My husband's military.
Okay.
But I know it's a lot of things, you know, he's dealing with me inside as far as anger and different things. I know that he don't want to go along with where he's trying to take us. So if you could pray for us as well. My husband's name is Jesse.
Okay, praise God.
Just
praise
pray.
God.
I've been asking him what's our mission here and why are we here? Because I do feel that it is a mission here. But I just
are you also in Tacoma?
I'm actually in Olympia. I'm a little bit further up from
okay.
her, going more towards Oregon.
Okay, well, praise God. Well, Father, we bless you right now, Father, for the geographical shift, Lord. And for the new assignment that you've already put in place, Lord. We thank you for the new structure. We thank you for the eye-opening morning that they will also have, God, concerning why you sent them there, God. Lord, I pray that you would just now, Lord, begin to, even now, Lord, speak to them even in their dreams, Father, as they sleep. Lord, let their hearts be active that they may hear from you, God, and that you may impart into them, Father, the direction and of the kingdom concerning their assignment, Father, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I pray now, Father, that you would even cover their household, cover their family, that you would cover their finances, God. Lord, that you would even begin to breathe upon them, Father, breathe on their health, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And, Father, that you would just now, God, just release the angels of heaven, Father, to encamp around their homes, God, and would minister to them, Father, minister to their children, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I thank you for your glory. I thank you for your anointing, Father. I thank you for your direction, God. Lord, I thank you that you are now even shielding them, Father, from every dart of the enemy, God, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, one of the things, though, I want to share, though, is I felt in my spirit that where you are is a dry place. But the reason why God sent you there was that it not be dry anymore. So I'm not sure if you all have had any interest in ministry, if you're doing any ministry, but you're going to do some ministry.
Yeah, he told us that. He told us that.
You're going to do some ministry, and you really need to begin to start moving in it. Get connected with some people that can help birth you in that direction and help set you up. Start doing your homework. Find out, is there a place where you can start setting up worship, even if you start in your home. But start moving in it, because God wants to use you to literally shift that region, to shift that atmosphere. And it's going to really take you to step out on some faith. God says when he sent you there, he gave you everything you needed to get started.
Yes, Lord.
Everything that he has orchestrated and everything that he has ordained to literally shift you across the country in such a way, he already put everything in place. As a matter of fact, there are at least four people that you're going to come into contact with that's going to help you get it started. I literally saw four people. There are going to be two that will assist you and really help you, and then there's going to be two that's going to financially support you. So open up your heart, open up your hands, and be prepared to receive, and just allow yourself and line yourself up with what God wants to do, and the direction that He wants to point you in as He begins to raise you up. God says, I hear the Lord saying that He's going to make you and your husband's name great in that area.
Hallelujah.
He's going to literally begin to bring you forth. People are going to come from miles just to hear what God has put in your spirit.
Thank you, God.
And there are going to be many signs and wonders that's going to come forth from your ministry. This is definitely a time for you both to begin to get radical.
Hallelujah.
I mean, get radical with Jesus. I mean, I'm talking about crazy kingdom. matter of fact, you want to start creating cliches and slogans that's going to be centered around your ministry, and these slogans and these cliches are going to attract even the young people. And not only that, the Lord said He's going to send you some talented young people.
Oh my God. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah, Jesus.
So, Father, we pray right now. We pray that the fire of the Holy Spirit, Lord, would just meet their ministry, God. Lord, that you will seal every word in the fire of the Holy Ghost, Lord. And, Father, I charge them this day, Father, that they would move out and step out on faith and trust and believe in you to bring them forth, God, and to transform that atmosphere for your glory, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. Father, I break every limitation. I break every spirit of doubt. I come against the spirit of the enemy. I cancel every assignment, Father, and everything that the devil has tried to steal from them, Father, every dream and every vision, Father. We cancel it now in Jesus' name.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
God,
glory
thank you,
to
Lord.
God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Glory to God.
Glory
to God.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Glory to God.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Oh, God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
And woman of God, you need to sing too.
Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Jesus.
You need to sound the alarm.
Oh gosh.
Woo. Thank you, God.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Yes, Lord.
The Lord says you will prophesy in a song.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you. To God be the glory. Thank you.
You know, the scriptures talk about the trumpet that would give forth an uncertain sound. And and then it says, who shall prepare himself to the battle? The Lord says that there's a trumpet inside of you. There's a prophetic minstrel that needs to be birthed out of you. I tell you right now, wherever you put your hands on your belly, we're going to activate this thing right now. Father, we thank you right now, and we stir up that prophetic minstrel on the inside of her, God. Let her voice be like the trumpet, God, that when she begins to prophesy in the song, God, that it will not give forth an uncertain sound, God, and the people will know when to go to battle, God. They will know when to go to worship. They will know when to go into prayer, God, because of the prayer, because of the sound that should begin to come forth out of her belly.
The
in the name of Jesus.
Coming. They're taking over. They're going to eat
and
my
Father,
food
we
too.
Thank you right
They're
now
my
in Jesus' name. In Jesus'
the
name.
They're taking the gold.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Lord.
Yes, God. And
Glory
Prophet,
to God.
This is Prophetess Seabrook. I was going to ask you a favor. On Facebook, can you just go ahead and add me on Facebook? That way I can confirm you.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. My name is Prophetess Christina Seabrook. I was trying to get on. I still can't get on. Because I'm on your talk show right now, but I can't get on your other websites.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Is that like a C, like S-E-A?
Yes, sir. S-E-A-B-R-O-O-K. My first name is Christina, but I use Prophetess Christina. Prophetess Christina Seabrook.
Okay. Praise God. Praise God. Okay.
Apostle Hill.
Yes.
This is Prophetess Sharita. This one's prayer for me and my family.
Amen, amen. Prophetess Sharita, I seen your name before. Was you on that line last night, or were you on a line with?
No, I've been on your small talk show a couple of times.
Okay, all right. Praise God, praise God. You from, where you from, Louisiana?
No, I'm from Maryland,
God is
but
white man. God is not a nigger.
Transition
God is white. God is not a nigger. God is white. God is not a nigger. God is white.
I don't know
God
who
is
that
not
is.
A nigger. You're a nigger. Look at you. You smell like Habba Gook, as I say. Go to the other side.
Hold on.
Go to
the other side.
All right, so I don't know who that is right now. If y'all can help me narrow that down, I'm going to just block everybody for a minute. Usually when the Spirit of God is moving like that, we always get somebody that want to come in and kind of play around for a minute. So we're just going to believe God tonight. And Father, I pray that you would just release the angels of heaven right now upon those that will try to interfere with your word. And Father, we release fiery darts, God, from heaven. Lord, I pray that you would heap coals of fire upon the heads of those, Lord, that would try to interfere with your work here tonight, God, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. We come against every unclean spirit right now. Praise God, praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Let me see if we can't narrow this down. But you always get somebody who wants to be a little disrespectful. Amen. I'm going to go to a song, and I'm going to work on trying to knock some of these folks out of the room. And you guys just bear with me for just a minute.
Thank you.
Amen. We're going to try this one more time, y'all. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Good to see some old friends out there. I got an opportunity to meet the Apostle McQueen a few years back up in Michigan. Amen. We was at a conference with Prophetess Sphinx. Amen. I tell you, God does some awesome things with a lot of us in the last couple of years to see how many men and women of God are transitioning across the country. And God is literally geographically shifting us. It's amazing. And that was certainly a prophetic word that came forth. I believe we had prophesied on Blog Talk back in 2008 and how God was going to begin to shift people from one particular place to another. You have to admit, that's awesome. Praise God. That is awesome.
Excuse me.
So I want to continue. I was just speaking with someone on the phone. I'm not sure, again, who it was before we got the interruption. If that's whoever that was, if you want to, just type your name in the chat room, and then I'll go ahead and open up the line. I'm going to be a little cautious this time because I believe there was one more person that kind of interfered with the line tonight. And I don't want to hinder the people that are seriously on the phone tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's see if we can. Brother Bob, how you doing?
That's Apostle Hill. That was me, Prophet Sharita.
Okay. Praise God.
I'm doing fine. Thank you, man of God.
All right. Amen. 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 All right. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. So, Prophet Sharita, you was asking for prayer in reference to, again?
I'm just for prayer for me and my family.
Okay. Amen. Amen. I'm being still on this one because I'm still here from the Lord for you. So hold tight. I'm gonna go to the next person. All right. Praise God. Yes.
My name is Prophetess China. I'm calling from Gary, Indiana.
What's your name again?
Prophetess China.
Prophetess China?
Yes.
And you from Gary?
Yes, I'm from Gary.
Really?
And I was on a conference a couple of weeks ago. A friend of mine, a sister in the Lord, told me to call in, and I just listened, and I went on the internet and looked you up, and it was a real blessing for me because that's why I read that you and your wife came from Gary.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I looked on there again today, and I read some more, and it's like that you and I work for the same company.
Really?
Yes.
Ain't that amazing?
I'm not sure if you work for the community service side, but I work for the employment training side of it here in Gary.
The one on 4th Avenue.
No, it's not on 4th. It's on 37th and Grant Street.
Oh, okay.
It's just been within the last couple of years that they began.
That's the Arbor side of it, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, right, right, yeah. Yeah, they got that all over the country. And,
yes.
You know, I'm still with the same company. I'm with the same company down here.
So are you with the employment training side of it?
No, I'm actually...
community service.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I thought that was really interesting because before I even knew all that, I just felt really drawn toward you all's ministry. And it's... like you say there, it's lacking there, but yet it's still it's lacking here. My husband and I are both licensed and ordained ministers, and the Lord has just been doing some different things with us from what's going on here.
What church are y'all going to right now?
We're not members. We're not members of a church. We actually were. We just came back from, we were in North Carolina, and
mm-hmm.
we relocated back here. And we were visiting. We visited for, you know, a couple months with this one ministry, and it was good. But the Lord pulled us out, and he began doing something with us, ourselves, starting at our home, but then it kind of grew really fast into from one to three different ministries. And what he showed us was going from house to house, and at each house we go to, it would give that the person whose house it was a chance to facilitate, and that in that way they were getting developed themselves, you know, just recreating
awesome.
Itself. Yeah, and that's what we've been doing, mm-hmm. and just God, it's great. And I was on the phone tonight. I was on your site, and I went on the calendar, and it said local sale ministries. And
you was on the older site, because
that's
like
the
we get
site.
Yeah, we getting ready to shut that site down. So our ministry had started there in Gary back in 2007, and we were actually under a different name then, and we changed the name to Kingdom First Ministries, and we moved to Hammond, Indiana.
Right, that's what I saw, and I clicked on that. And I emailed or called, I emailed, and I got a hold of Prophet Henderson.
Wow.
And he called me tonight, as a matter of fact. I was praying, and he called, and it was such a blessing. I believe he ministered to me for like a couple of hours, and he was speaking of you and your ministry, and he hated to see you all go, but it was such a divine connection and a blessing,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to connect, you know, together, and it was just awesome.
I'm going to
call and get on the conference tonight.
Yeah, he's an awesome brother, you know, and I really enjoyed that little fellowship that we did have with him while we were there, too. Now, I still got some, I know him. He actually, he came and ministered in one of our cell meetings. Him and his family, and we had an awesome time. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they're like about 30 minutes from us, and he was saying their next service is going to be on Easter, so we're going to try to go over and visit with him, but it was such a blessing,
mm-hmm.
such an anointing.
Yeah, yeah, that's powerful.
Yeah.
And actually, now, we do have another apostle that's out there in Indiana.
Uh-huh.
And I literally set them over our people. And you just have to give me your information.
Sure.
I do want him to kind of come out there and do some more work in Gary.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a couple of folks in Gary, too, that still need to step up and make some things happen. Because we pretty much kind of pushed him when we left. But they've been going out there. He's in South Bend. And they've been going out there.
Oh, I used to live in South Bend.
Yeah, he's been going out there to South Bend, him and his wife. They've been visiting with them, and they've been doing real good with that. We also have another church over in Joliet. As a matter of fact, she was on the call tonight. She listened in, Angela Dawson.
What I was trying to see, if you had any affiliates or if you had a branch here or what, you know.
Yeah, my family's still there. So you know, it's still some things that's happening. So we just have to talk. We have to talk. Well, let me share some things with you. I want to speak prophetically to you. Is your husband present?
No, he isn't. He's working.
Oh yeah, he definitely want to get a hold to me because this word gonna hit him in his spirit. Now, I hear the Lord saying that this is a season not only of just transitioning for you guys, but there's definitely ministry also that needs to come forth out of you. There are some things that took place in the last, I hear the Lord say, 3 years that kind of put you in a place where you had to kind of halt where he was trying to take you to. whether there were circumstances or there were little mishaps, and there were even literally gates that opened up that God wanted you all to enter in, but you kind of hesitated because you didn't know if you had any peace with entering in, but yet God was beckoning you to come forth. But the Lord says, because of the anointing and because of the ordained call that's on your life, he has to speedily bring you forth. And it's necessary in this hour. And for you to be placed in a city such as Gary, it's going to really literally require you to connect with those that have that place in them that will literally draw the people. Because the ministry that God put inside of you, people are not attracted to in that city. And that's not to discourage you, but that's also to encourage you. But it's to let you know that when God gets ready to raise you up, there's going to be a season where you're just going to be frowned upon because you're unusual. There's an unusual anointing in your life. There's an unusual approach toward the way that you go forth in the things of God. The way that you even prophesy is unusual. And I see you as one of those prophets that would literally come out of her shoes in the middle of a prophecy and even go as far as to roll up your sleeves. I know I'm talking good.
Yes,
but you're one of those unusual prophets, and God wants to take that prophetic mantle that's on your life and push it even further. The Lord even says that your husband is an apostle and that he has such an anointing on him that he would have to, once he come into contact with other leaders, he would have to quickly be a blessing and quickly walk away because he carries within him. He's literally an Ark of the Covenant, and he carries the message of the Father inside of him. And there are those what I call word thieves or message thieves. You got you and you all are in the region where they steal messages.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna tell you. I had people get on WYCA radio and preach the same thing I preach.
Mm-hmm.
So you have people there that will literally attract themselves to him, and he has to quickly be a blessing and walk away because he also has an unusual but yet peculiar anointing on his life. And God's literally going to compliment the anointing that's on you, and he's going to give you all the ability to rejuvenate and to restore some dry places in that city. But it's going to definitely take you to be patient and take you to have some faith in God concerning the direction that God will take you. But I also hear the Lord saying that you ain't going to be in Gary long anyway.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Glory.
Yeah, because you got to, in that city, he's going to have you to stick and move.
Mm-hmm.
And there is going to be a launching place for you that's going to put you before the masses as God begins to raise you up. And so just stay in tune and in fellowship. Again, I even hear the Lord say this for you. Your posture for worship should be head down, heart up, and literally on your face before the Father. Even in the place where you're employed, God's going to use you to implement some new ideas and put some new plans in place that's going to help that place function a little bit better. The way that people walk in the door and they receive services is going to be different in 3 months as God begins to give you that idea and allow them to put it in place. I know I heard the Lord say 3 months on that job. Change three months.
Right.
Yeah. So it's an exciting season for you both because you know God had literally had mercy on some of the things that you didn't move in, but because of the ordained anointing that's on your life, it's almost a requirement. It's a must that you do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a must, and so there is yet other leaders in the city. that has the same vision, that has the same purpose that you have. There are those leaders that will even desire to have you to come and sit with them, and those that will want you to be a part of what they're doing, but yet God is still going to single you out because there's a purpose and a certain design and plan that God has for you in that city. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. I receive that, and that is very accurate.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Are you and your husband considering adoption?
Adoption?
Yeah.
No, we haven't been. I have a 15-year-old.
Uh-huh.
Well, his child is grown. We haven't talked about an adoption or anything like that.
Okay. All right. I heard adoption. So
adoption?
Yeah, so it could be anything. It might be something 3-4 years away. Sometimes you know God give us stuff like that, but I just heard adoption.
Adoption.
But there is a scripture in the Word that talks about the spirit of adoption. God is the God of adoption. But I did hear that, and I don't know if that was something that you guys have maybe been interested in. Praise God. Yeah, it's actually in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, where it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father."
Okay.
Amen.
That's wonderful. And I praise the Lord. Your ministry has been a blessing to me.
Amen.
And ever since I connected.
Well, praise God. Well, our new website, I mean, we still have a similar name, but the new ministry name here in Texas is Kingdom Exosia Ministries International. And the website is www.kingdomexosia.org.
Mm-hmm. I have that. And
okay.
I believe I emailed your wife's email address.
Okay.
Today, because when I was on the site, it's a place where you can put your
question
or whatever, but there was no place to submit it.
Okay, all right.
So what I did, I just went and I emailed your wife.
Okay, all right. I'm going to have to tell her to check it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, praise the Lord. And it'll have my work, it has my work information too. I'll copy and paste that on there too. I thought you all would get a kick out of that.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. And you know, we labored in that city, and we really did. And but the Lord said that it was time to go.
Okay.
But we knew it eventually. We was going somewhere. We just didn't know, and we didn't know it was going to be as soon.
Right. That's how I feel too. I feel the same way. But
praise
he's using
God.
Us while we're here and developing us.
Amen. And if I had an opportunity, I definitely want to introduce you to some more folks we know out there that was in fellowship with us that was going to the church. They're right there in Gary, and they're not that far from where you work.
Yeah, because we're in the same area.
Matter of fact, they live up the street from where you work at.
Well, I might know them because that's where we are. It's like West Glen Park.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's where we live too.
Yeah, they stay right there on Grant Street.
That's where I work on Grant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we definitely
like that information because we really do need some. And I have been praying for divine connection.
Praise God. Amen. All right. Well, yeah, we'll definitely. I'll have to go in there and get you pull off your information and everything.
Okay, thank you. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Man of God, before you go, I wanted to know, how do we go about if we want to sow seeds?
How do you go about what now?
Sowing seeds into your ministry.
Go to my email link and request the information. I'll send you the address.
Okay.
Yeah,
because
I still have it. I haven't got the P.O. box set up yet, and I don't have a PowerPop button set up yet, but it will be set up. Hopefully at the end of the month, but the email address should be in the chat room.
Okay.
You probably have to scroll up some, but it's up there. It says Apostle L.A. Hill at KingdomExosia.org.
L.A. Hill?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, y'all see y'all still having trouble. Let me see if I could type the link down here in the room so y'all can get to that site, because if you get on the email updates, I can also send you out some more information.
Okay. And I have one more question. Do you have a prayer line every Thursday, Apostle?
Yeah, we're going to be on every Thursday now.
Okay. That'll work. Because I'll be on. That's why I was asking.
Praise God. Praise God.
I want to support your ministry, so I would love to be on your prayer team.
Amen.
So,
and again,
really
if y'all all are coming in, if anybody came in a little late, you can still get in touch with us, too, if you're interested in the School of the Prophets. I'm definitely, that's in my spirit. I'm gonna get that started within the next month. And we're looking for at least a minimum of 25 people. You'll be able to participate right there at home, live from the Internet, unless you live right here in Temple, Texas. You'll be able to come and sit with us in the conference room. It'll be much more personal that way, but we're going to actually stream it live, and it's more likely going to be by video.
That sounds good.
Yeah, and anybody that's on the line tonight, they'll tell you that we take those classes serious. And it definitely is going to be some revelation and impartation that's going to come forth. It's not going to be anything like the previous class that we did. I'm believing God to release me to be able to pour out some different information, but we still want to maintain the foundational principles that govern the kingdom concerning the prophetic. And and I'm really going to be addressing this time in the area of apostolic evangelism.
Wow.
So we're going to be dealing with that. That's something that the Lord really been putting on my heart to deal with. Because a lot of people don't understand the commission.
That's deep right there.
Amen. Amen. Prophetess Sherita.
Yes. I'm still here with you all.
Amen. The Lord just showed me that you've been in some spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And but you're getting ready to get you some peace.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
There are some things that the enemy has stolen from you that hear me very clearly on this. The Lord said he allowed it because there's some things that he wanted to teach you. Now, in this process, as you begin to gain back your peace and this spiritual warfare begin to preside a little bit, the Lord's going to show you how to pursue and recover all. There's a revelation that's going to come out of your spirit, and the Lord's going to show you how to access in deliverance on how to recover things that the enemy has stolen. Because the anointing that's on you and the ministry that God has placed in you is a recovering ministry. You know, the Bible says it recovers sight to the blind. People don't even know what they've lost. A lot of folks don't even realize what the enemy stole from them. But God has placed this anointing and this gifting on you for you to be able to recognize in the spirit realm everything that the enemy has stolen. And you're literally going to pursue and recover all.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
And so you want to, as you find yourself also in a posture of worship, in that time, God's going to begin to literally pipe you up with heaven. I like to call it like the internet. He's going to be streaming live with you. And there's going to literally be an impartation of information from heaven that God's going to give you. And there's going to be places in the Word of God that he's going to strengthen you in and encourage you in. But at the same time, there's going to be revelation that you're going to be able to teach as you begin to deal in the area of deliverance. And that's going to be important for you. It's really going to be very important. You need to really deal with that. As God continues to raise you up.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
And there's even in your prayer life, God's going to show you how to pray specifically for things. There are leaders that are right now that we all admire, like the Cindy Trims and the Paula Prices. You know, I come from that lineage where Mother Boyd and also Dr. Mildred Harris and all of those people. There is a level of intercessor or inside of you. You got a powerful ministry, woman of God. You know, I've done quite a bit of teaching on prayer and prophetic ministries, and I can surely say tonight you are one of the ones that I've prophesied to out of the many women of God concerning a prayer prophetic ministry that has a very unique calling on their life in this area. And I really don't like to talk like this because it could confuse the average believer if they don't understand unity in the body of Christ. But you just can't commingle with anybody.
That is the truth.
You just can't converse and you just can't let everybody know what God doing in your life. Because you one of them ones that attract haters.
Yeah, a whole lot of them.
It's almost like I see you in the spirit, literally on strike, with a sign up saying I attract haters. But just being encouraged. Be encouraged. The Lord got everything under control. I see what you know that spiritual warfare has affected your financial well being. It has affected your even in your health some. But God's going to begin to give you some relief from that. Payday is coming, and you're gonna walk in complete wholeness in Jesus' name. Praise God. All right, somebody got their phone on speakerphone. If you can just kind of put that on mute so it don't be a distraction. Praise God.
It's so funny that you say that, Apostle, because I was sitting here in the other day listening to some church services and looking at them. And one of the things that dropped in my spirit, I had went and I just went before God. And I said, God, when you put me before your people to give your word, I said, God, don't let the spirit of pride fall upon me. I said, God, I want to walk in total, complete humbleness and humility before you. I said, move me out of the way. And I said, God, you speak through me. You speak through me. And on what you were saying, recover, this past Sunday, I preached a message entitled, My Enemies Are Pursuing Me, But They Cannot Touch Me Because I'm Anointed. And
that's powerful.
You know, God, he gave me another message, but when I got up there, he said, no, I just need you to go with this.
That's good.
And, you know, I just thank God. I thank God.
Amen.
So awesome.
Wow, that's powerful. Praise God. Well, praise God. Yeah, somebody still got their phone on the speakerphone. If you can, just take that off. Bless the Lord. Amen. There we go. That's better. Praise God. Praise God. Well, was there anybody else tonight? Amen. Definitely.
God bless you, Apostle Hill.
Amen. Bless you. Bless you.
God bless you. And Prophetess Kenyatta, it's so good to know that you're back and finally transitioned. I just came on to just thank God to honor you on today, and I thank God for what you've done in my life and All is well. I just thank God for where I am in this place of peace. Amen. He is amazing.
Amen. You know, it's powerful that, you know, over the course of the last year, I knew you had been in some transition yourself. And one of the things that I've learned, and many people that are in ministry, that especially as leaders and apostles and prophets, when you're covering people, you got to know when to bag off. Because sometimes people need what you call air to breathe, and when I say that spiritually, when people may have said that whatever you was doing didn't seem right to them, God knew what He was doing. and I knew that, you know, it had to be a season where you just got some stuff off your chest.
Yes, Lord. That was it, Apostle Hill. That's exactly the season I was in, time out. You know, I had to take a time out because, you know, my prayer was, God, don't allow me to minister broken. You know, when you know, my assignment is to heal the hurt, you know, mm-hmm. and deliver and set the captives free. But how can I do that and I'm broken? And I knew that it was a season I had to overcome because the place that I'm in today, I've never been in before in my life. And I just thank God for the process because it was necessary. But I've never been this strengthened in my spirit, man. And I'm just going forth in what God has given me. I've never been so confident and bold to know that I'm not moved by what people think anymore. I'm not moved by what someone says or labels me because my assignment is specific, and I have to do what God has said and not what man thinks. And, you know, it's so easy to get caught up. And the people telling you, you know, just because what they need, and you get off course, and not necessarily get off course, but You don't minister on the dimension God needs you to minister on. And so now I know it specifically what God has given me, you know, mm-hmm. my specific assignment for this season. It wasn't last year. It wasn't the year before. It's very specific. And He's teaching me that, you know, just flow with me. And you said, you know, you taught me this, that, you know, when you have the gift of the prophetic, God shifts you in all types of seasons, and you just got to go in the flow of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So I've learned to do that, and I thank God for everything you've taught me because it was necessary for me to make it through this season, that dry season in my life.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's so amazing? It was like, I'm gonna just tell you straight up, like within the last week or so, the Lord said, "Okay, she finished, she done."
Hallelujah! Woo! I thank God. I thank Him because I'm telling you, I mean, it's just I cannot, you know, that perfect peace, that resting in God. You know, the process, people don't want to go through the process, and they never fulfill the fullness of their ministry because they don't go through the process.
Mm-hmm.
And the process for me was necessary, you know, and God showed me, He said, whatever your ministry is, you got to walk it out first. You have to walk it out to the fullness. So if your ministry is healing of the heart, your heart going to be tore up before you can go and minister in that realm.
Surely is.
Woo!
It surely is. Mm-hmm.
Spirit of rejection going to hit you on every end. The very people that you love, your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your best friend, your husband and your wife, oh, they gonna do it to you. But I thank God for the process.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I wish someone would think they're going to cause to reject me because I'm not moved. I've been through too much.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want to share this, and then I'm going to give you back the floor. But I was at work on Saturday, and God said, "Hi, daughter, You know, whenever God asks you a question, you already know he's preparing you. And he says, daughter, how many years have you been fighting for your life? And I'm like, oh, Lord, 38 full years, Lord. And is it ever going to end? Because I'm tired of fighting the devil. And God says, and how many years have you gotten in the round with the enemy? And, well, 38 years, Lord, as long as I've been living. And he says, okay. He says, so what areas has the enemy knocked you out at? And, you know, and I thought about it, and I said, well, he attacked my health, he attacked my family, he attacked my finances, he attacked my workplace, he's attacked my house, he attacked my car, he stripped everything that I've had. There's no other area left, you know. And God says, good, I'm glad you recognize the tricks that he used. Now, the enemy had a strategy to defeat you for 38 years, but in your 39th year, when you go in the ring this time, you're going to have a strategy to defeat the enemy. And I was like, oh, my God. I mean, I was in work just praising God, just shouting and thanking him. He says, see, when the enemy attacks you in every area of your life, then what else does he have? You already have a strategy now. You know what to do because you saw me deliver you on every hand.
Yeah.
And so I just praise God for this peace. I don't know. I don't even. I mean, it's a peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm not saying that struggles don't come and trials ain't coming at me. I'm saying I'm not moved because I know this is a spiritual battle. I'm going to win this time.
Hallelujah.
So God is amazing.
Amen.
He is amazing. I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
Well, I'll say this, and, you know, while you were talking, I saw in the spirit the Lord place a crown upon your head, and there was a crown of righteousness that he placed upon your head, and even I saw the Lord cover you with a shawl and place even more authority in your hands. And this is definitely a season where God wants to pull you back into the forefront and release you to do even greater things. And even those that couldn't figure out what was going on with you and which direction you was going in, and some of those that even grew bitter because they felt like you was just kind of harpooning on the same thing, the Lord says that he's going to begin to reconcile those relationships quickly. And the reason being because some of them, too, went through the same thing while you was going through your thing. and he was using you as an example of how to be set free and how to not get caught up in anything extraordinary outside of already what was going on. And the Lord was literally using your life as an example to bless those that, you know, that were supposed to be following you. But God says he's going to reconcile those relationships. There's going to be a season of forgiveness. There's going to be a season of restoration. There's going to be some things that God's going to begin to put in your hand. There are some promises that God had made even when things just begin to be shaken up a little bit, and God's going to bring those things back to your remembrance and begin to bless you for those things too. This is just going to be a great season. A great season for ministry, a great season for visitation, and even with the children, there's going to be a great visitation that's going to come with them. God's getting ready to raise up the oldest boy. There's some things that God is requiring of him even now. He may not be talking about it as much, but the Lord is speaking to him. And so he needs to be encouraged. Extra hugs and extra talking to in these days because God's speaking to him. And it may be a little unusual to him, but the Lord keeps saying to tell you God is speaking to him.
You know what? That's the word of the Lord. God revealed that to me, Apostle Hill. He 2 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, my son had a small Bible on his dresser. My son is so much like me, that's how I knew the Lord was going to use him. And just a couple weeks ago, the Lord said, I want you to pay your son to video you ministering because I'm getting ready to show him that I'm going to use him. And God already showed me that he's going to walk side by side with me But I didn't understand what he meant until just last week, and God showed me that vision. So that is the word of the Lord. Everything you spoke is confirmation. He's already restoring the relationships with those who walked away. The healing and the forgiveness is already in manifestation. All those things that you have spoken of, it's all in place, all en route. I believe this to be the greatest year of my life. I feel it mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually. It is just, my ladder is going to be greater. It is greater already, just because of the peace that I have within my heart. The healing that manifested, those generational curses broken and binded, just favor just already on my family, my children. It's just amazing. And nothing was in vain. I just thank God. I thank him for that dry season. We are in a season, not only in a new year, but we're in a new decade, and we as believers have to walk in a greater expectation of the promises of God and walking in righteousness and holiness, and begin to confess those words forth. I just want to share this scripture, and then I'm going to leave you alone. It's in Psalms 105 and 19. God revealed this word to me a couple of days. It says, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. And it was speaking of Joseph and how he had to walk through the word that God had promised him, the vision God gave him. He had to walk it out. He had to be tested and tried in the very word God spoke into your heart. God has to test us and try us and see if we are able to withstand everything so that we can walk in righteousness. You speak of that in the consecration, being in his image and in his likeness, and I just thank God because God revealed the message. And
wow,
I ministered last month, and it was living the life of a Jesus cover girl model. And God says, Genesis 1:27, we were created in his image and in his likeness. And God is trying to get us all to that place that our lifestyle is a lifestyle of worship, meaning, not worshiping, worshiping spirit and truth through our lifestyle, and not allowing the enemy to overcome our. We are a great example in the way we live at work, in the schools, and changing. He's changing the way kingdom is built because it's no longer in the church. It never was, but he's taking us outside of the church. That's why he's building all these ministries and these cell groups because it's time out for playing church. It's time to be the church. And each of us have been called to be the church, and the temple is the holiest place of ever. And if you're not living holy, how can you be the church? How can you be his temple? Okay, I'm going to leave that alone.
Yes, sir.
I tell you, she still sound like a daughter. Praise God. Praise God. Now, with that said, I guess I need to hear from the other one because I know she on the call tonight. What's up, Shamika? Where you at?
Hey, Shamika. Hey, Missy. How are you? I'm doing well. Just glad to hear the word and still growing spiritually, learning more about the prophetic. And that's where I'm at right now.
Well, praise God, praise God. She being shy, y'all. Don't get it twisted. She can flow when she want to. Amen.
Amen.
Shamika was with us last summer when we came to Texas. We was on our way to Montemorris. We had a 5-day engagement to go minister right on the border. And we got stranded down in Richmond, which is southwest of Houston, and we ended up spending almost a whole week.
Yeah.
See, every time we tried to go home, and Shamika tried to go home a couple of times, she ended up getting turned around on I-10 somewhere, and had to come right back. Well, we had an awesome trip. God still yet met us. She wasn't with us the last day before we left, and we ended up ministering in a cell ministry. and got moved up in there. We was outside of Houston. I think it was Beaumont or somewhere, but we ended up ministering up in there, and the Lord showed up. There was a woman who had palsy on her right side. She hasn't been able to close her eye in years. And my wife and I, we laid hands on her and we prayed for her. And I'm telling you, she was simultaneously blinking each eye back and forth after we prayed for her. And the power of God fell on the meeting. And it was just an awesome move of God. One thing I have to encourage you all about, and I want you to understand this very carefully. Usually when there is a strong presence of God that will fall upon us in any service, even on conference calls and wherever God would meet us, the enemy will usually come in and try to interrupt what God had just did. Mm-hmm. He'll try to produce accusations out of the blue and have you thinking two different things versus what you just believed in, what God just did. Well, I just know God just did all this for me in this service, and I can't believe that this is going on now. And you have to be careful with it. I remember a couple of meetings that we've had over the years, and great division resulted because they couldn't sustain the glory that had hit them in them services. And a lot of times we want the presence of God, but some of us can't handle it. Some of us can't handle it. You either gonna come together, unify, and be consistent with it, or you gonna backbite and stab and talk about your brothers and sisters behind your back, have all kind of animosity and cause division. You can't serve two masters.
Mm.
You got to set your face like a flint, and you got to really know without a shadow of a doubt that you are on the Lord's side.
Yeah.
Choose ye that every time the glory of the God shows up, choose ye this day who you will serve. We have got to get better about when God moves on us, and I only really see it happening mostly in the Afro-American churches.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's not to say it's not happening anywhere else. But for some reason, we can't seem to be on one accord for the majority of the time.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, we have got to do better. We need to be accountable. Time out for leaders that don't want to be accountable anymore. If you're running around and you know you don't have a covering, you don't have anybody that can hold you responsible and accountable for some of that stuff that you're preaching. I'm telling y'all. It was a couple of CDs I had preached on when I first started out in ministry. I took them things and used them like frisbees. I said, I can't believe God let me practice on his people like that. I mean, you got to, that's why you need to have somebody that can hold you accountable so you ain't preaching no fluky stuff. And you ain't saying something far-fetched. See, a lot of times pastors will let you come up and preach on Sunday evening, or they might let you preach a Friday night, you know, when hardly ain't nobody there. And you done felt good, like you done did something. And when you go back and listen to your message after you done had about two or three more years of grooming, you be like, I can't believe I said that. And you be wishing, why didn't he correct me back then? I probably wouldn't have had to go through as much stuff to get to where I am now, if my leadership had held me more accountable.
Yes, and
so when you connect with true apostolic and prophetic leadership, you have to be willing to take good criticism. And when I say good criticism, that means, look, you need to get that word together because that word was a little off. And you know, I ain't gonna beat up on you, but it was off. You was in error. Go back and correct that. and fix it right, because we don't want to be, you know, leading the people through the wrong path.
Amen.
Not to say that you was a false teacher or a false prophet or whatever. You was just in error, and it just need to be corrected.
Excuse
Amen.
Amen. Praise Amen. God. Praise God. Brother Bob, you still on the line there?
Yes, sir, man of God.
All right. You said you needed prayer for yourself and your family.
Yeah, I said I needed some just some prayer, some encouragement, because I need some clarity and vision as to what God has in store for me in ministry. I too move, the gifts of the Spirit and the prophetic and, you know, the miracles and things. But I don't know, Apostle, a lot of times I feel like a circle in a square peg. Like I just don't fit.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I mean, because when the Lord had moved on me to have miracle service, I don't have my own church, but I have had some miracle services through local ministry, and some I've held on my own in hotels and such. But it has developed in me to the point of discipleship, and it's like it's such a passion, and that's the problem that I think I'm having is it my passion that the church get this? So I want to teach you how to move in signs, wonders, and miracles. It's my passion. This is what we were called to do. You know, the disciples were sent out, the 12 and the 70 with power, and somewhere along the line, somebody didn't follow the protocol. And that's why we're broke off, and many people aren't moving. And but when I bring this to the church for discipleship, to go outside the walls, I could teach this, or at least what I know, I can teach that in a couple hours, and
mm-hmm,
you can
you
manifest,
sure can.
You can manifest these quickly. Yes, right after the teaching, you can go out to Walmart or whatever and manifest these now. The gifts of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now it sounds good. It sounds like, oh yeah, we want to come, and then you know, when they go to have the teaching, it's like, you know, the overseers are well beyond, like, a half hour late, leaving early out of the teaching, and it's like, because maybe it wasn't what they thought it was, and this disappointment has set in, like, is the church hearing what the Lord just wants us to walk in? I'm not trying to make anybody or any ministry do anything that they don't want to do, but,
mm-hmm.
But it's like, well, you know, we're the overseers, or this is my ministry, and like, I understand that, and I'm not trying to. So that's the problem that I'm coming into, is such great disappointment. So I don't know if my passion has overtaken me, or if my impatience with the church as a whole, because I'm not into celebrity ministers per se. You know, sounds good, looks good, wasn't that awesome? Well, I don't know. Does so-and-so still have heart disease? Does so-and-so still have cancer? Is somebody still, you know? And so, because that's my passion, I don't want to see you leave hurt whenever you, you know, to me, like, if you come into a service, and I'll be real quick, so I'm not trying to preach here, but, you know, but when Jesus said, you know, which is easier to say, come up front and say the sinner's prayer, or come up front and be healed. He didn't say which is harder, he said which is easier. And so, when I don't see, the house being a house of prayer, when I see ministers who are afraid, God might not show up, he might not do who told you to do it, and all that kind of fear, that concerns me, that you're, you know, that it just seems a lot of leaders aren't willing to learn this, so I mean, I could teach you how to, you can too, how to break that spirit of fear and all that kind of stuff. But there seems to be like a joy to want to do it, but when it comes down to it, sometimes I just don't see a lot of leaders being the leaders that they should be, with this mandate that's on the church and on the body of Christ. And so, like I said, a lot of times I just feel like I don't fit in, like a prophet, which I'm being addressed as a prophet also, but I know I don't get no respect in my own hometown. I mean, just to put up a flyer for me to have a miracle service, I hear ministers say, well, I have to prayerfully consider it. I'm like, are you kidding me? Well, just make an announcement.
Wow.
Can you at least do that? But
wow.
But there's nothing crazy about what I'm doing. I'm not off the deep end or anything like that. I'm just, and I do manifest the signs and wonders and things. And
mm-hmm.
and I know protocol, and I, I'm you know, and I respect, you know, every ministry, but anyway, so I'm in a place now where, like, it seems like I feel like in my spirit I just need to step back. I don't want to say excuse myself from ministry, but I need to, like, I think I just need to, like, sit back and, like, just seek the Holy Spirit. And, like, I'm not even, like, I don't want to say I don't want to go to church, but, I mean, I'll go to a different service or like, not my own home church now, because I feel like I just need to step back because I don't think we're on the same page. I think we have the same goal, but we're just not on the same page.
Right.
So I feel like I just need to seek the Holy Spirit and, like, you know what, I'm just, like, block everything else out, and because I've got to get clarity and vision, because I don't want to speak ill will of the body of Christ or any minister. And, you know, I know what the Bible says about touching my anointed, things like that. And I don't want to go there, but I don't, also don't want to be disappointed. And I don't know. I just, like, waiting for the – I don't know if I'm ahead of my big door opening or – and maybe that's what it is. So, again, I don't know if it comes down to just my passion is overtaking me or if I'm just impatient as God is opening up the doors before me, where maybe perhaps I don't think they're opening fast enough, but in reality they are. But –
well, you definitely don't. You definitely don't want to step back right now. You are so full right now. You are very full, and let me just share this scripture with you. And I actually have this scripture on my website. It's in 1 Peter chapter 2, where it says in verse. I'll start with verse 3, where it says, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Verse 4 says, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." And verse 5 says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." And matter of fact, let me read the next one. It says, "Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." You know, Jesus was the chief cornerstone. The Bible speaks of in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "And are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone." In the natural, the masons rejected the chief cornerstone when it came to building. And a lot of times we're around believers or spiritual leaders that react in the structure and the building process of the kingdom the same way, rather than them to incorporate the things of God that concern the kingdom. They reject the cornerstone. They reject that one stone that make up the whole building. And that's why you're feeling the way you feel, because you carry the very presence of God inside of you. You carry a likeness of Christ that is like no other. And when you say you're like that prophet that is not accepted in your own city, believe that, brother, I know where you're at. You are in what we call, and this is what I call, you having the ministry blues. And I've been there. I know what it feels like to not want to preach, not want to teach, don't want to say nothing because you feel like you're just going to get shot down. But you got to be willing to press forward and continue to declare what the Lord says unto you. If it even costs you to step out on your own and go and rent yourself out your own little conference room and hold your own services and so you can teach, because you got so much inside of you that you got to get it out. It has to come out of you.
That's for sure. I have when I have been invited to minister, or when I have rented a hotel, the presence of God fills the room for the entire service. You know, not just in worship. When I walk into the room, and listen, I'm not lifting up myself. I'm just saying that the presence of God. When I walk into the room, so does the presence of God. And you know it, saved or unsaved, you know it. You're going to have your goosebumps. You're going to have, like, wow, this, and you're going to get on your knees. In some services, that's what happens. But it is so strong, and that's what puzzles me is, you know, it's like when I do look at some of these ministers that know this, I don't get it. It's just like a one night service kind of thing, and I'm like, you know, I don't get it. I just don't get it. You know, you see these very miracles before your eyes. You know, and we're not a lot of them. I mean, I'm not used to seeing ministries around here doing these things, but it's the passion and love that I know that, you know, that we have for Christ, and to press through and you know what you had to fight through, you know, when someone talks about, you know, they wish they was like you or had your anointing, but they don't want to go through the process that you had to go through, because each and every one of ours is different. Mm-hmm. And we got there a different way. You know, and I mean, I lived in, I was raised in our house had demonic activity for years, and I wasn't saved, and so I dealt with the demonic in that realm before I knew God. But when I did, it wasn't like, okay, now the shoe's on the other foot. It was like, no, and now I just need to go do what God's called me to do. And I do have the best interest for people. And I'm an encourager myself. I love to encourage people. I love to see people get their breakthroughs. I love to see people manifest their gifts, their calling. I'm just one of those ministers that I don't believe that you just come in and sit like a bump on a log. You have a gift, you have a talent, and we need it. And we'll find a place for you to use it. I just don't believe you come in and sit down and do nothing, because you know that's the body has to come together. But I left the ministry that I was in where God was moving mightily in me and teaching me and showing me things. It just because the apostle said he was going to shut that church down, and I just couldn't help him do that. I could not help. I can't help you shut down a church. So I just couldn't do it. So I had to leave. I was like, I cannot shut this church down. I just cannot do it. I went to some other churches for a while, and then I found this next ministry in Pittsburgh, which I'm in. I'm about 25 miles south of Pittsburgh. But it looked like a bigger door, or a bigger platform or whatever, but and I love the ministry. I love the people that I was under. But now it's like it seemed like that's starting to fall apart. Again, that's why I say I don't think we're on the right page. And we just been out of a hotel for the last year because we don't have a home building. Yeah. But it's.
And that's good. That's good. I would encourage that. I would definitely say continue in that. And if you have to, I mean, if you're not getting the respect from the other men or women of God in the city, just keep pressing in it and don't hold back. As a matter of fact, you can. I would even suggest that you get even bolder. Get you some radio time. Get some local radio time and just begin to blow the trumpet. And you'd be surprised what God began to do in the city and began to shake it up. You know, there's a lot of free accesses to the internet and even in the radio arena for the radio programs that you can use, even in video. You know, and maybe God will just begin to send you some people that can help you invest in certain materials and equipment. To kind of help further the ministry, you can start maybe, you know, one of the things that we did, we were able to put some of our messages on CD, and rather than me charge everybody for it, I just gave them away, you know, just to promote the ministry. You know, it didn't make me a difference if I didn't sell them or not. I just wanted to bless the people, and it just seemed like God would just continue to increase that the more and more.
Yeah, that's what I just did at my miracle healing teaching. I had my miracle service recorded, and so I just gave them out because I'm sure I'm like you. I'm not about the money. I'm about lifting up the Lord, and I'm not into games. And it doesn't matter wherever I go to minister. I mean, you know, my prophecies will be right on. The gifts will manifest, and there will be miracles, will be healings, and but it just seems like when we come, it's not like there's any disrespects or anything like that. I mean, from that point, because if I'm in whichever ministry I'm in, it's you know, I'm going to be a blessing to that ministry, that's for sure. But it's like that overall sight of of the direction that it goes from after a certain point is like, well, that's where I get stumped. It's like, oh man, we should be discipling. We shouldn't be doing the same old all the time. We need to. I mean, I don't see no vision outside the church. I don't see us discipling people. You know, Sunday service is not discipling. Wednesday Bible says not discipling. I mean, you got to take this outside the walls at some point. And I'm like, oh, you know, if we just love one another, I mean, yeah, you know, God talks about that. We've got to get this thing outside the church. So that's
evangelist Philip Mantle that's on you to really get out and to really move into things of God, and we just gonna believe God to really bless you in that. Matter of fact, I definitely want to pray for you, Father. We thank you for the brother Bob tonight, God. Father, I thank you for the anointing of the evangelist that's on him, Father, the apostolic evangelist that's on him, God, the prophetic evangelist, God, that's resting on his life, Lord, to move in signs and wonders and miracles, God. Father, I pray that you would just begin to open up those doors, and we decree and we declare the favor of God that rests upon his ministry, Father, to also rest upon that city, God. Father, let him have favor in the marketplace. Let him have favor in the business arena. Lord, give him favor, Father, that will cause him to move in the things of God and be able to go forth in the vision that you have ordained for him in Pennsylvania, Father. Lord, I even pray to God that you would send him some assistance, God, that you would send him sons and daughters, God, that will assist him in the ministry, Father, that will undergird him, Father, and pray for him, and those that would intercede, God. And Lord, that you would even send those that will even sow into the vision, God, that they would sow into the work, God, so he can continue in the passion for building the kingdom of God, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, I pray for every enemy and every tongue that has come and has risen up against him, Father. Lord, that you just would begin to rebuke them now, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for moving by your Spirit. And I cancel every assignment of the enemy, Father, every spirit of backlash and every spirit of retaliation against his ministry, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you. And Father, I even pray that you would cover his family, that you would shield them with your righteousness, and that you would not allow any evil to come near their dwelling, Father, in the name of Jesus. I decree healing and wholeness in their bodies, Father. Let your blood cover them right now, Father. Send the angels of the Lord before them, Father, that you may keep them in your perfect peace. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, I thank you.
Amen.
Brother Bob, it is so. God's gonna do a great work and a very quick work with you. Just be encouraged and know that God got it all under control. Because not only is there a platform for you, but there's also an even greater a ministry that is bigger than Pennsylvania. Praise God.
Yeah, I believe that. I've been told that from a few other, let me just say, top prophets who have said that the Lord wants is going to give me words that will go even internationally. And as I told my ministry, the ministry that I was in back in December, I told them that while many people were going to be prophesying, you know, all these good things for 2011, and, you know, you'll never be broke another day in your life and all those things. And perhaps some people were told that, but I told them that that in 2011, the enemy was coming in like a roaring lion, and so beware. And I think it was January the 3rd when everything just, like, you know, fell apart with Egypt, and now we've got either the earthquakes and, you know, it just the weather patterns, everything has just gone crazy. I wish I could have been a little more specific in some of the areas, but I can only speak what God shows me. But it has been just accurate as I have given it. But I'm one that I would tell you, man of God, that whenever I give a word or you know, in a ministry, I will tell the people that and you come back and you give me the good report and you tell me about this, because I declare that anytime I give you a word, I stand here as a true prophet of God, and if it doesn't come to pass, then you have every right to come back and call me a false prophet, because I will stand on the word. If I speak it to you, I know it was of the Lord. And so
Amen.
That's how bold I am. I will stand and I will face the people, because I believe what God is telling me, and I will speak what he tells me. And so I'm just bold. I am bold like that. And God is increasing me in all those areas and things, and to break off the fear for just anybody doing it. And I want to leave you one last thing. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, I think it's verse 8 through 11, somewhere in there. But what this is when Peter and John had been arrested for preaching Jesus.
Right.
But it says right there that they perceived them to be ignorant and unlearned men. But they could not deny the fact that the man was healed and that they had been with Jesus. And that's what I just want to leave people with, that know that no matter who you are, there are areas in the scriptures where, yes, we're like ignorant and unlearned. Don't mean stupid. I mean like ignorant into word. So if Peter and John can do it, but remember, they were with Jesus. And as long as you listen to the Lord, you can manifest the gifts of the Spirit.
Right.
Because if you had been with Jesus, you can do this. And the Bible was made that even a child can do it. And we just got to be careful that we don't make it so hard and so scientific that we never find the combination lock where it's right before our very eyes.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And that's why, I was saying earlier that the gifts of the Spirit are designed for us to profit. The kingdom of God will advance when we use the gifts of the Spirit in the church. Everybody should be operating in them. There should be an administration and an operation of the gifts of the Spirit at all times.
Yes, sir. It puts it into a debate.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Well,
what a wonderful
for the ministry. And I'm going to. It says hosted by Apostle L.A. Hill, and it says get notified. If I click on that notified, it'll let me know. When you're having your next services and things.
Yes, it sure should.
Okay, so I'm gonna click on that because I want to come back and revisit. That's for sure.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Anybody else tonight? Y'all hanging in there? We started at what? 8:30, 9:30 on the East Coast. Praise God. Y'all still hanging in there? Praise God. Anybody else tonight?
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. Hi, Apostle Hill. This is Sister Joanna.
This is who now?
Sister Joanna.
Hey, Sister Joanna. How you doing?
Not so good today. I came home from school and I went to check my email and I just started feeling really woozy and nauseated and fainted, and I kind of vomit here a little bit, and I had to lay down, and I don't know what it was, but I mean, it just really, I never felt like this before. So I don't know if you guys could just, keep me in your prayers.
Do you feel like you're just kind of getting, you're just kind of under the weather right now, or you think you're suffering from something different?
I don't know what it could be. I never felt like this before. I mean, and I just don't feel like myself. But I'm trying to, the little strength that I do have, I'm trying to keep up and up. You know how when you're sick and then you feel sick and then you get into sick and then you be real sick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to go into, feed into it, but I said if I don't feel any better by tomorrow, I'm going to go see a doctor.
All right, well, this is a... this is a season where you really need to encourage yourself to, and just allow the Lord to minister to your heart through His scriptures. And David even said it was times he needed to encourage himself. So you want to spend time, just speaking the Word of God over your own life. And I heard a testimony down in Austin a couple of weeks ago from, matter of fact, it was Joel Osteen's family, and his sister was ministering, and she was talking about how their mother, Dodie, had been healed from liver cancer. And if any of you all know anything about liver cancer, that's a terminal illness. And you really don't live long once you're diagnosed with that. That literally will take you out of here within days or weeks. And God completely healed her. You know, as the testimony went forth, come to find out, this woman still kicking and going forth 30 years later, completely healed. And all they did was fall out on the floor and pray and believe God, and the whole family did. And she walked into her healing. It wasn't no deep spiritual woundedness that went forth. It was just a simple little prayer and a confession of the Word of God over her life. And so what I'm saying to you tonight is just to begin to speak life over yourself as you encourage yourself. Speak the Word of God. You know, just begin to confess, by His stripes I am healed in Jesus' name. You know, I am wonderful and beautifully made in the Lord. You know, just begin to declare healing and salvation over your flesh, over your body, and just trust God in everything that you do, and really make sure that your confession is to the glory of God. Don't give place to the enemy for nothing. But we're gonna believe God tonight, and we're gonna pray. And we're going to ask the Father just to remove those infirmities from your body and those ailments. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you now, God, that you would just begin to touch Sister Joanna tonight where she is, Lord. Father, that you would send ministering angels, God. And, Lord, that you would just begin to pour out vows of gladness, God, and vows of healing, God, of healing oil, Lord, that just would begin to saturate her in the Spirit, Lord. Father, I pray that you would begin to release unto her, Father, a new heart, a new flesh, God. And Father, that you would just begin to cover her in your grace and in your mercy, Lord, and that you would cause her body to begin to line up with the Word of God on tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. We decree and we declare wholeness in her body. Father, we speak life. We declare that the enemy is defeated and God is exalted on tonight, God, because she is healed because of your stripes, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And we thank you right now, Father, for the anointing of the power of God in Jesus' name. And I'm telling you, that simple prayer, just walk in it. just walk in complete wholeness in your body. And believe and trust in God, because it is so. And just confess healing and salvation. You know, if you have to go and get you some books, order you some books from the internet at the library or whatever on scriptures and on healing scriptures, just get that and just begin to confess it. And that's necessary for you to be studying the Word. I think I told you that before about something about studying the Word.
Going to school, you asked me that I want to go back to school, and I told you I was already in school, but I did want to go back and get my business degree.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just be encouraging and continue to speak life over every situation in your life, over your family, over any circumstance, because you'll start to see some changes. Amen. God bless you. Guest number 14 has been hanging in there with us tonight. I'm not sure if we got a chance to talk. I know I've seen a lot of guests pop up in the room. Amen. But we bless you anyhow. God bless you, Apostle Blair. He's just been hanging in there with me tonight as well. Come on and have a couple of words, sir. Let you speak and tell us what the Lord is saying tonight. Praise God.
Amen. How you doing, man of God?
Bless. Amen.
I know that's right. I just been sitting here soaking up the Word. Before I came on, I was kind of like in a meeting, so I was kind of like in and out, you know. But when I finally got home and got settled and everything, the portion that I did here really blessed me. And I just want to encourage all the people that's on the line. You know, it's very important that we know who we are in the kingdom of God. You know, because what I'm seeing now, and I know it may sound old to a lot of folks, but, you know, what the Lord has really opened my eyes to is that a lot of people have identity problems, you know, and that's why, you know, we continue to compromise and do some of the things that we do because we have identity problems, you know, because we haven't fully grasped who we are in God. And when we grasp who we are in God and know the possibilities that are and the giftings that He has placed in us and begin to move in confidence and in faith, you know, we'll begin to see such a move of God, you know, in our different regions that we're positioned in. You know, and I mean, I'm just sitting up here full, you know. Normally, you know, me, I don't really, you know, be speechless. I would have something to say, amen. But I definitely took some things for myself also, you know, and I'm definitely going to apply more, amen, of what I've heard. And, you know, the part about the prophetic, it really blessed me because, you know, we are a prophetic and an apostolic people, you know, but a lot of people really don't understand or fully grasp what the prophetic is, you know, and everything that comes with it. And, you know, I like how you said in order about the apostles and the prophets and things like that, because people get that totally mixed up, amen. And I believe once we begin to move forward in the gifts effectively and know what is what, I believe that, you know, we'll begin to see a greater harvest of souls come in and, you know, things like that. So I just bless God for you, man of God. You're a good teacher here, and you're teaching me some things over here.
Well, praise God. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, John, I always say I'm called of God to serve the people.
Yes, sir.
And one thing that I realized is that when God called me into this office, it wasn't just a price for the anointing, but it was my life for the apostolic.
Yes.
And people have to understand that there is a difference. It is a difference.
Yes, it is.
And you serve no matter what. Your life is not your own.
It sure ain't.
It's not.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Anybody else tonight? Amen. I'm encouraged, and it was good to hear from many of you all tonight. We still want to continue with this. We'll do this every Thursday night, and I'm not sure. We may even speak some more on the prophetic. I may dive into it a little bit deeper. Always enjoy teaching on the prophetic and even in the apostolic. I believe that we all need to have an understanding on the type of leaderships that we're gravitating around and God has placed us under. And that understanding can be fruitful when you are sitting up under a teaching such as that. And I believe that God wants to empower His people. They don't call the internet the information highway for nothing. You know, God just put us all in a position now where we're able to minister the word of God now at the speed of light. I mean, we all scattered around the country, and all of us are effectively being literally catapulted into another dimension in the kingdom tonight. We literally gathered together by way of some system, and it's taken us to another realm. Amen. So we all should we want to just give God the glory and thank Him for all that He's doing. And y'all be encouraged again if you're interested in being a part of the School of the Prophets. I'm telling you, what you heard tonight is just pretty much foundation compared to what we'll be ministering in this capacity during the School of the Prophets. And I definitely don't want to limit anyone, but if you don't sign up for it, you won't be able to get in, because I'm not going to interrupt the class for outsiders to just come in. We want to bring in as many people as possible, but we also want to do it decently and in order, and so that the people of God can be encouraged and they can receive everything that the Lord has from them. Will it be for 6 months? No, I don't think so. I could see maybe half of that, maybe 3 months. at one time a week where we can get together, and yet we still want to continue to do the same thing. Misty, I might be coming down there to Houston soon. We actually got some things on the table as far as starting up down there, so we may simultaneously be doing something here and there.
Just let me know ahead of time.
Okay. So we definitely got that on the table. So, like I said, if God put it on your heart, if you guys want to travel here to Temple, let us know. And we definitely would love to have you as a guest, have you over for dinner. We love to cook and eat around here. So just let us know and come on and visit. And, again, visit the website. If you all still having trouble getting on there, try to link one more time and just keep trying. Sometimes it's better if you just go straight to Google. Google will actually take you almost into any site. Sometimes if you try to power up in other internets outside of Google, it's almost difficult to get in. And our site is still fairly new, so you just have to keep trying. And again, you can probably access it from our Facebook page. So if you can grab our Facebook page, all you have to do is look for Apostle L.A. Hill, or you can even punch in my full name, Lamont A. Hill. It should come right up. And we also have the ministry Kingdom Exosia Ministries International, which is also on Facebook as well. It's a group page there. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So again, on Thursday night, we'll be doing the same thing, same place, amen. And but we'll be doing even more come the School of the Prophets. Praise God.
Praise
All right.
God.
I want to go ahead and pray. And matter of fact, Apostle Blair, if you don't mind, if you go ahead and pray for us and release us, man of God.
Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father. Father, we just thank you, Father, for this great teaching, Father. I just thank you, first of all, for using the man of God, Father. I thank you for speaking through him, for teaching through him, Father. And I thank you, Father, that even our minds, Father, the ones that heard it, Father, even the ones that got off and the ones that stayed on, Father, that our minds are constantly being transformed by the word, Father, that you've given the man of God, Father. And as we depart from this line, Father, Father, we just ask, Father, that you continue to cover us in your grace. Father, we thank you for your mercy, your grace, Father. We thank you, Father. And Father, we thank you for stirring up the gifts that are on the inside of us, Father. We just thank you, Father, for stirring
yes,
us up, Father. Father, activating us and releasing us, Father, into our
yes.
God-given destinies, Father, going forth and demonstrating the kingdom, Father.
Yes,
and,
Lord.
And, Father, we just thank you, Father, because,
yes,
Father, there's no distance, Father, in prayer. There's no distance in the anointing. There's no distance in impartations, Father.
Yes,
I thank you, Father, that a lot of people on this line was imparted tonight, Father.
Yes,
from the apostle, Father. And, Father, Father, that even the ones that's on this line now, they're going to begin to notice, Father, a difference in their spirit, Father.
Yes,
Father,
yes,
even when
Lord.
They begin to move in the things of the spirit, Father, they're going to begin to notice a difference, Father. And,
yes,
Father,
Lord.
I just
yes,
thank
yes.
you, Father, for activating the gifts, Father, because truly, Father, the gift that you have given us is for the advancement of your kingdom and bringing in the end-time harvest.
Yes,
and I thank you, Father, we love you and we praise
yes,
you. You're so good
yes,
to us, Father. You're more than good to us. You've been better to us than you have been to ourselves. And
yes,
for that,
God.
We will forever love you. In
yes,
Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Yes,
amen.
Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Y'all go in peace tonight. Praise God.
Pastor Hill.
Yes.
I have one more question. What time does your prayer line start on Thursdays?
8:30 Central.
Okay. So what time is that East Coast time?
That's 9:30.
So 8:30 my time.
Yeah, no, it'll be 8:30 my time, 9:30 your time on the East Coast.
I'm on the West Coast. So what time?
Oh, you on the West Coast? Let me see.
Yeah,
up in Washington, I think that's 6:30 your time.
Okay, so 6:30.
Yeah.
All right. I just wanted to make sure I had it on time.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna make sure I post that for those that's on the West Coast too.
Okay, and I will. Don't forget to add me on Facebook if you don't mind, please.
It's on there.
Okay.
Yep, you already had it.
Okay.
All right.
I
God
will
bless.
Go and confirm.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Bless you all tonight.
Bless you too.
Good night. Right. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
God bless.
Hello.
Everybody hanging up. God bless.
God bless.
All right. Bye bye.
Goodbye. Hello? Hello? Hello?